Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Now to a story out of Lisbon that's been getting a lot of attention online. A FedEx worker shared how he was treated by someone who pulled up to his truck. First News Weekend anchor Keely Lovern shares that story new tonight.
Why? Why so much hate? I don't get it. I really don't get it.
On Wednesday, 23-year-old Brandon Brackens took to Facebook Live during his shift for FedEx in Lisbon.
I can't even think straight right now.
In the nearly seven-minute video, Brackens emotionally describes what he says happened to him while he was waiting to get a package out of his truck.
They spit on me. Spit on me? Really?
The Cleveland native says a man drove up next to him, called him the N-word, spit on him, and drove away.
I'm using really good words. I don't, you know, like, I really don't let get to me. But when you almost hit me and spit on me and call me a what?
The video now has more than 180,000 views, and the number goes up by the minute.
Wow. Just wow.
Hundreds of people have also commented showing their support for Brackens.
I appreciate all y'all. I really do.
Lisbon community members are now even selling signs that say hate has no home here. Proceeds will go to the charity or organization of Brandon's choice. We reached out to FedEx about this situation, and they said this. This type of behavior has no place in society, and our first concern is for our team member. At FedEx, our workforce is as diverse as the world we serve, and we believe that everyone deserves respect. Lisbon Mayor Pete Wilson confirmed that a police report was filed and an investigation is underway.
I think it's a lot worse than a lot of people think. It's a lot worse. Racism is live.
For WKBN 27 First News, I'm Keely Lovern.
We got permission from Brandon Brackens to show you the video, but he was too busy to answer any of our questions about it.
I did just want to bounce a question off of all the listeners. Considering my unfortunate relationship with a white supremacist for a significant amount of time, I have noticed that there are certain tactics that kind of throw them off guard, and I was just wondering y'all's opinion about employing these at work. So a lot of times what white people will do is they'll make jokes and, racist jokes, like you guys are all aware, and those jokes will get more and more sinister. I'm thinking, you know, next time it's a joking atmosphere and they're making, you know, it's slowly starting to become more racist or more, uncomfortable in any type of way of just calling them a white supremacist. So when there is an anesthesiologist who makes a snide comment, I just jokingly say, oh, okay, you're a white supremacist, and see how they react. And a lot of times these people, when they hear that word, it's triggering for them. It's more so than racist. White supremacist kind of, it just kind of cuts them differently, and they start kind of going out of their way to prove that that's not who they are. So my ex-husband would do that and still does that to this day. And so just wondering if a good response would be just calling these people, oh, okay, you're one of those neo-Nazis. Oh, okay, you're a white supremacist. I see you. And just having them put the onus on them and have them try, you know, feel that uncomfortability. What do you guys think about that tactic?
Can I be heard?
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do it. Because they may make you have to prove it, and you won't be able to prove it.
Mm.
But I might be able to.
Pardon?
I might be able to. I mean, I'm an intelligent person, and I might be able to. I mean, I might not have heard them say something specifically about a black person, but I can use my words to make it more or less say that I have felt threatened by other disgusting jokes that I've heard from them. So, if worse came to worse, I could probably make it sound like I could prove it.
That's not sufficient enough in a disciplinary meeting. you have to prove it, period. And I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I'm just using logic. If you had that ability to prove a white person is a racist, then we wouldn't be having this program at all, because it wouldn't be logical.
Okay.
But I would not do that. I would not do that at all. That's a suggestion.
What if my response is that, oh, I was just joking, just like you just made that joke right there? That was my joke. Why can't I?
Well, you would have to prove that you were just joking. So in other words, the whole logic is of what I'm stating is, in order to solve a problem, don't make sure before you do that you don't create problems. In this case, it would be problems on you. The problems would be on you. So I would file that incident, and when you have your particular job meeting, biweekly or weekly, whatever that is, then you can bring it up into a question. Is this policy of what I've been hearing going on in the operating room or whatever, then you can put it in terms of a question. But I would not, and I will repeat, I would not call a white person a racist, because you will have trouble proving it if they challenge you in that way. And they have done so. I'm talking from experience also. But, I mean, I can't tell you what to do and what not to do. But, but just as you ask for suggestions, and that's what I'm giving. Thank you, ma'am.
Thomas, in New York, were you going to respond to that question about?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if it's at work, just if they're comfortable with it, pull out your phone and record it. You might even tell, hey, listen, let me hear. You're so funny. Let me record some of this. Let me get some of this material. And I guarantee you they'll stop. And if they do, you could go straight to HR with that. They you got it on tape. But like the firefighter said, it is almost impossible to, the only white person right now that you could call a racist is Donald Trump, and that's because other white people call him a racist. It's impossible for us to prove someone's a racist. We need white people to prove it, or we need to have direct documented evidence, which you would have if you have it on tape.
Might want to be careful.
But I'm not. Hello?
We can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
I'm not trying to make an accusation per se. Like, I'm not trying to get into an argument. I'm not trying to... I'm not trying to prove anything to them or to myself or to other coworkers. I'm just trying to at least get a little bit of offense instead of always playing defense. And I think if I'm making it a joke, like they're, constantly in joke mode, and it puts them in that defense of trying to pander and prove that that's not what they are.
We're not in an offensive position. We in a defense, we in constant defensive position. We at war and they are winning, and we have no real defense to their war. So we're in a constant defense. You have no offense against them. Unless you can get them to prove it themselves, it's your word against theirs, and good luck with that.
Okay. I just saw it do a number in relation with a white supremacist, that I was unfortunately married to, and I got to see a whole lot of backpedaling and, pandering and that kind of stuff, but probably in the context of workplace, it's probably not a good idea. So I appreciate it.
You can accomplish what you're looking for, I think, if it's to get them to stop making those sort of crude remarks and racist jokes and that sort of thing. The accusing white people of being a racist, what I was going to say, you might even have to be careful about saying that Donald Trump is a racist, because I think some other folks have tried that, and he's pretty staunchly said, oh, no, I'm not a racist. Me and Kanye are thick as thieves, metaphor. But, yeah, in a workplace context, White people generally get very serious and unifying that regard. I mean, they've had situations where, you know, somebody called a person a nigger or all kinds of things. I know he had a nigger. I mean, called you a nigger, and he had a Klan outfit. It looks like that might even be shaped in the form of a lynching rope. But I don't think Mr. Cruz is a racist. They'll have a lot of that sort of thing. So I think it's just been so many examples where they end up, even the black, like I just mentioned Kanye West, he called George Bush a racist after Hurricane Katrina, and then he had to come back and apologize. Like, they waited like 4 or 5 years. They kept bringing it up and bringing it up. Didn't you call him a racist? Why did you say he's a racist? Yeah, I know he didn't respond, but you called him a racist. George Bush is not, and then he had to come. I'm sorry, and George Bush is not a racist. Matter of fact, he didn't even call him a racist. He just said he didn't care about black people, and they made him come out and say, I'm sorry, George Bush is not a racist. They end up getting a lot of black people in trouble for that.
Just to clarify, the word that I want, the term I want to say is white supremacist. And I'm trying to, do you know of any examples of a black person saying it in a joking form and it's still having, you know, oh, you know, I don't know if you guys are missing me necessarily, like what I'm trying to say. Like, racist to me has lost a lot of its potency. So white supremacist, using that term but saying it in a joking fashion just to see their response, that's really what I'm wanting to try next time, and just as an experiment, just to see how they react to that. But if it's not a good idea, then, you know, I'll move forward accordingly. But if you have any examples of, like, a black person saying it in a joking way and noting the response of black people, or white people, that's really what I'm interested in.
They generally don't joke about that sort of thing. Like, they generally get real serious about, do what? Are you saying that I'm a, like, they generally get real serious about any sort of suggestion or allegation that a white person is a racist, white, and especially if you're going to say white supremacist, like, oh, man. they might tell a lot of racist jokes, but they generally do not joke around about that one. They generally get very serious, and you see them a lot of times work together against the black person who said that. I just, like I said, I think you can accomplish the same effect when they make that, like, you're there and they're making the racist jokes or what have you. Thomas in New York, I think he said with the recorder, just asking them to repeat it. I didn't quite hear what you said. Could you say that again, please? With a serious face, like, you don't have to be mad, angry, scowling, just, oh, could you say that again, Bob? I didn't quite hear you. Just make sure you can repeat it so I can hear it all the way. Even that, I see, can have a huge impact, like, whoa. Policy and procedure, you can write that down and just go by, I don't know. Do you think that violates the policy and procedure? Check that out. I'm always a big advocate of checking policy and procedure, but there are a lot of them. That accusing a white person, even jokingly, right, being funny, like, oh, you're a racist. Generally speaking, the examples that I've heard of that sort of thing, white people get very serious, and I've seen a lot of examples where it works out to the detriment of the non-white person. But you can let us know. Counter racist codification, if you want to try out some different methods of responding, let us know which ones work out. Lots of folks have encountered that, though, white people being kind of racist and flippant in the workplace. And I think a few people have even, you know, just noted being serious when they see you consistently not responding, you're not getting upset, and or looking like you are being serious. What did you say? Could you repeat that? Let me make sure I write that down. Just that sort of conduct has been enough to, whoa, I think I'm going to stop making these comments around this person. I don't quite know what's up with them. We got all this, I'm going to be a little more cautious with what I say. I've heard a lot of folks who said that type of response has worked very well at alleviating the behavior and making a much more professional workplace environment. Anywho, Workplace Racism, Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Pacific. What a wacky week. I guess we could take one final. Does anybody have a last comment before we conclude compensatory call-in for this week? Last comment, about 30 seconds.
Yes, sir. I would say there is no workplace more latent with that type of behavior on a 24-hour basis than the fire service, which is what I did for 28 and a half years. So, and everything that the lady was talking about as far as the problem, I have experienced, and I have reacted, and I've gotten results. I've reacted in the way that I explained to bring it up at a whatever the general meeting. In our case, it was called battalion meetings, and bring it up. And from there, there will be a talk on it. And they would have to. They would have to, in most cases, go by what is on that paper. And so that would be my suggestion. Hopefully you don't go and quote unquote joke about them being white supremacists. I don't want you to get into that kind of problem. Thank you.
I don't even know what a lot of your callers are talking about.
He's talking about the pain and anguish being non-white in a system of racism, white supremacy. And this is what my practice is all about. The number of people that come in, black people coming in to talk to a black psychiatrist about their mistreatment on the job. And the number of people that I've told that they have post and continuous traumatic stress because of the racial abuse. The racial abuse that many black people experience on jobs is absolutely horrendous. It's as though they are still on the plantation, the way that they are abused, and no place to turn because of the denial of racism on the part of people who classify themselves as white. And I would say the vast majority of white people deny the existence of racism as a powerful dynamic. You see, so that the abuse of people, I mean, people come in my office, males and females, practically in tears because of what they have to endure in the workplace. And yet the American Psychiatric Association wants to minimize the reality of racism. And I say that's why we have an Elliot Rogers. Or is what's the other gentleman's name who was fired from the police force?
Christopher
Dorner.
Christopher Dorner. Absolutely. I was going to ask about Donald Sterling, but that workplace race, we talk about that all the time. We have people call in every Saturday. We spend an hour just talking about incidents, observations, problems that people are dealing with. What are some of the suggestions that you give out when people come in and they have incidents about how they're being mistreated on the job and dealing with racism on the job? Like, what are some of the suggestions that you routinely give out for black people dealing with that or non-white people?
Well, first of all, I try to help people understand what racism is all about. Now, that doesn't make it any easier because racism, white supremacy, is like a form of warfare being conducted against black people in general and black male persons in particular. And so I tell people they have to understand it as war. They have to develop tactics and strategies like in job situations. Document the things that are said to you. You see, the whole pattern of people being denied promotions, the whole pattern of people trying to be downgraded after having outstanding evaluations. And then a new supervisor comes on with the assignment to get rid of the black person and downgrading the person's performance. Now, this is warfare against people. And by helping them understand racism as a system and therefore putting this pattern of warfare in the workplace, putting it in perspective, but it doesn't solve the problem of the trauma. And a lot of people can't afford to get lawyers. Some people can't afford to get lawyers. And even when they get lawyers, it's an uphill battle to try to prove what is indeed happening to them in the workplace. But this is why, you know, if we say it, if we talk about a black agenda, I say that black people must have the agenda. I would put emphasis on insisting upon that it be admitted that we indeed are in a system structure of racism, white supremacy. Do you see? In other words, if the black collective in this part of the world, if we insisted that racism, white supremacy.
The grandsister, Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, Context of White Supremacy. This is Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, June 19, 2020, so I have been told. That the grandsister, Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, 2 days in a row, get to hear her voice at the beginning of a broadcast. There are worse ways to start off a program. That's 2 days in a row we heard Dr. Welsing, and that's the same broadcast. 2014, June, this is like a month, a little over a month before Eric Garner was killed. I Can't Breathe. 2 months before Ferguson. She came back on the program in the middle of Ferguson and talked about not rioting and all that, even though she mentioned a little bit of that in the program that we just heard. Like, wow, incredible program. You can go back in the archives and check it out. So glad we were investing our time and energy with something constructive during the summer of 2014. There was so much wackiness going on. We could have been wasting time. Well, not wasting time, but we could have just been talking about Donald Sterling all summer because that was big news then, too. Dr. Welsing talked about that a little bit there, too. Anywho, workplace racism. Wow, what a week, what a month, what a spring, what a year. Just hoping that we make it to 2021. That is a low goal, but I mean, wow, it has been that punishing of a year. Just hoping we get to January 2021, see if we can start fresh, make things better. Whew, unless there's a spectacular improvement going down the stretch of this year, and wow, that would be amazing too. Anywho, so much to talk about specifically for workplace racism. We heard at the beginning the segment with the FedEx worker, black FedEx worker. He was called a nigger, spit on. That's assault, by the way. Learned that some years ago also in a incident of white terrorism, but you spit on somebody in many areas. That is what they call simple assault. And in this time, man, is that chemical and biological warfare? I think somebody else spit on someone, and they put a much more serious charge indicative of COVID-19 and all that, like a bioterror type charge, like going around and spitting on people in this type of environment. So you heard all that. We have had a number. I don't even remember how many. We had the clip before because he was a FedEx driver. We had the clip before, remember, it was a delivery driver. And the white people, like, boxed him in. They used their vehicles so he couldn't leave. It was multiple, more than one. They came and boxed him in so he couldn't leave. We had the other one where it was an altercation. White guy came out and started videoing him and calling him names and all that. Man, we have a lot of delivery drivers, haven't we? Black males, black females have called in talking about doing, you know, different types of routes and things and driving. Jeez. I don't want to say I pray for you, you know, religion of white supremacy, but I mean, wow, that is super dangerous work under the system of white terrorism. Like, you have to have a substantial code. I mean, about all kinds of things. You know, if it looks like somebody is coming up and they might be a little suspicious, how close do you get to people? Like, how much touching and contact and all do you do? And wow, I would have an extensive code, you know, and I would not get into any conversations with anybody. If they come up, I'm on my route. The only people I'm talking to are the people that I'm doing the delivery for. Anybody else? Nothing. Like in this climate with everything the way it is, I don't have directions, nothing. Oh, how you doing? Nothing. Like I'm on my job, nothing. Making these deliveries, they come up and they're getting hostile. What are you doing in this area? Blah, 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 blah. Same thing I said before. You see something incorrect, you think I stole a UPS truck or whatever it is, call the police, right? That's the procedure. You got my plates and everything. I'm sure you got the newest model iPhones. You can get a really excellent quality picture. Send it in. Negro has stolen a UPS truck. Easy to spot. That's what to do, right? Not getting out. I'm not talking about anything. I'm not challenging anything. I said before, if they get aggressive, if it looks like anything, you start to feel unsafe, call the police. I would get back in my vehicle, roll every windows, lock all the doors, make sure I'm as secure as I can. If you can't get out, immediately call the police, record the situation. After I call the enforcement officials, then I would call my employer, let them know what's going on, have the recording. But I don't have anything to say, nothing. It would have to be a really substantial call because it's just every week. It's more and more of those type of reports, black delivery drivers being terrorized and called a nigger and spit on and threatened. And they, you know, be safe out there. We have a lot of folks, Cal's listeners, who do delivery drivers. We've had a number of folks who've called in, listener in New Jersey and other folks. Man, Gus T is thinking about you. That will not buy you a cup of coffee or anything else. Won't even get you a little hand sanitizer. But, man, you are my thoughts, prayers with you. Work on that code. It would have to be super substantial. The second segment, or I guess it was three, actually. Okay. So the second segment, that was from last week's compensatory call-in, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. That was like old-school compensatory call-in. That's like back in the day when we didn't even have workplace racism as a specific segment on the cows, right? Way, way back, anybody who's dialing in, I know retired firefighter would be one, Thomas in New York. I think we got some of the folks who've been listening for a while. Remember, oh, yeah, compensatory call-in. Workplace racism used to be the last chunk of the call-in for Saturdays, and that's what we had last weekend. Our caller in Colorado, that is Cowbell, she dialed in towards the end of the program, which is no problem. I'm always down for workplace racism. But she called in to talk about her workplace situation, and she said, which I suspect a lot of people are dealing with, what she talked about. She said that her white race soldier colleagues, they would make, you know, their little racist jokes and racist comments in the office. And she, you know, works in the medical profession. So this is straight coon man, and, you know, he's supposed to be all professional and got patients coming in and no Hippocratic oath here. Oh, did you hear the one about the Negro? Oh, okay. Woo, pass me a new set of gloves. Let's get him in here. Anyway, so she says, hey, I'm thinking about, hadn't done it, but she just said she was thinking about the strategy of the next time they go to make their racist joke, I come back with my joke and say, oh, wow, Bob, so you must be a racist. Oh, okay. And so you heard the dialogue. Retired firefighter gave his perspective, his view. Thomas in New York gave his view. I think I shared a little bit. Caller in Colorado gave her thoughts. I would encourage anybody, hey, this is not a dictatorship. Counter racism, united, independent. VGQ, we talk about that all the time, victims guaranteed qualified, simply meaning, you know, hey, you have your perspective, I have my perspective, we might not agree, and we don't have to. As it goes for workplace racism, you are the captain, the general, the lieutenant, everything. So, hey, you don't have to listen to anybody here. As far as, you know, as this program is concerned, you can take the position, Gus and all of them. They're a bunch of coons. And I'm not listening to any of them. They don't know what they're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I got it. Cool in the game. That's what the goal, really, of learning counter-racism is supposed to be, following the logic, not a person. So if you decide we don't know what we're talking about, which might be the case, use your own logic. You got a brain computer for a reason. I would ask, though, share. Let us know how it goes, because it might be, you know, different strategies might work and different people might be able to employ different strategies just because of their personality and, you know, the type of energy that they have. Different things might work for different folks. So if you try it out, let us know. I did think it was interesting because I was going back listening to that interview with Dr. Welsing. That's how that clip came into to being there. I was listening to Dr. Welsing. She did talk about workplace racism a lot in her visits on the program. I played a few visits. She talked about Omar Thornton and Christopher Dorner, all those situations where black males ended up resorting to counter violence as a result of workplace racism that they experienced, and that's according to their own testimony. Anyway, but Dr. Welsing had talked about workplace racism a lot. I had not heard that segment in a while. Man, she was for 30 years a general and child psychiatrist. She worked with a lot of black clients, Washington, D.C., back when it was Chocolate City. Man, she worked with a lot of folks who had been spit on, called a nigger, denied promotions, all of that, racist, all of that. That's not new to her. But she said in that segment, like, I wasn't even listening. I wasn't looking for that. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just looking to find the clip for yesterday where she was talking about the book we're reading, Einstein on Race and Racism. And she comes at, you're going to have a hard time proving it. If you can afford a lawyer, maybe a really good one, maybe even a white person, to come in and be your Johnny Cochran, all righty, you're going to have a very tough time proving workplace racism. And that has been my observation. In fact, scratch, that has been my conclusion from years of study. Like, white people have got that on lock worldwide. We had folks call in from Norway, Stacy in the UK, longtime listener, worldwide. They have got that. Oh, accusation of workplace, and they will wheel out all of their racist friends, and I donated to Barack Obama's campaign and all of it. You know, I've donated to the children in Africa and everything that you can think of. I am not. Did you see me out in the protest? Look at me. I was out there pulling down the statue right there. Look at me right there. Come on. Not saying that you won't be successful, because you might. Sometimes, from time to time, they do come out and say, oh, man, this person, you know, will give a settlement. That's what, sometimes they do, but more often, like, oof, way more often than not, they'll take 17 years, 12 years, 10 years, that type of thing. In conclusion, we just don't know, you know. Said he called him a nigger 5,000 times and even had a few witnesses, but it's hard to say. It's hard to say. And then you got the Rona. I told somebody that before, you got the Rona, so you got to factor that in. That's going to slow everything down. Like, we got to get face masks and hand sanitizer, and we can't have meetings. Still got to take time on Zoom to write penises. So, yeah, that's going to slow all these investigations into racial misconduct down even more. So what could have taken 10 years now is going to take 15 years. Joking, but not really. Even when I say 10 years, I am not joking at all, because we had a segment in Oregon where they said it had been 10 years and they still hadn't even made a conclusion. I'm not even saying that they concluded inconclusive or that they couldn't reach a finding and we just stopped it. No, 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 no. It's ongoing. A decade. We just hope all the people don't die before we come to the conclusion of this thing. Lots of ways they can do it in the system of racism, white supremacy. Number 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Give out the number again. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If you do not want to dial in, you are concerned about being identified, you have a distinctive voice or what have you, no worries. You can use the email untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. We can read your commentary on the air, keep it anonymous. If you have either suggestions for what's been shared, we can share that. If you have a situation and you would like assistance in trying to process it logically, we will do our best to help solve problems without creating new problems. That should be the standard, the counter-racist standard, solving problems without creating new problems in the workplace and beyond. But the email again, untiljustice@gmail.com. Last thing I'll get in before we check the lines. I don't know if, I know, you know, folks said last week and even before that, we had folks who said that some of their employers are, you know, saying, oh, my goodness, how we treat the nigger is a problem. We're going to talk about it. We're going to have a fireside chat. We're going to have a good old, you know, stump conversation. You know, come sit on the floor and get our little pillows, take off our shoes, sit, what they call it, Indian style. I'm sure there's some racism there. Sit cross-legged and talk it all out. I don't know if they're doing that sort of thing in your workplace, but I would not have anything to say. I said that before. If anything, it would be questions. I'm not volunteering to get up and talk about all the times I was called a nigger because I saw a lot of that being promoted. That is not constructive at all. If you have some problems in the workplace that you would like addressed, just fast forward to that. That would be questions, things we could get, resources that would be helpful. That's all we need. We don't need to sit around and, you know, tell me what your experience is. And if white people want to share racist jokes, now, hey, that might be a great one. If you work in a work environment where they tell racist jokes, oh, my Lord, I might have to seriously think about that. If we're going to do a fireside chat, I might even have the policy and procedure manual with the page and everything about appropriate workplace conduct. If they have a section on that, most workplaces do, read that section with the page number and everything. I hear some, you know, inappropriate humor from time to time, or humor that I wonder, is this in violation of the code? And, you know, is this something that we should rethink in the moment? A few that I've heard, you can even break out your notes. That's why I said you can just write them down. That's all you have to do sometimes, just write it down. Ted, repeat that for me. And you say, Negra going off the cliff. And so, just write it down. Okay, got it. No problem. I'm not mad, not breaking a sweat. Have a sip of my water. Refreshed. But, yeah, write it down. And then if they have that, you can just read, you know. So is this a sort of humor? Commentary that's appropriate for the workplace? Still in the question line. And just see what they say. I bet you only have to read one, and you don't have to accuse anybody of being a racist. You don't even have to give a name. Just, you know, I've heard a lot. I would even emphasize that. If you hear these type of things a lot, I hear this type of stuff a lot from a lot of different people. So, you know, no accusation, just trying to see what's appropriate for the workplace and how we can make for a more professional work environment. Love that word, safe, too, but yeah, great one. But if you have those meetings and you have spoken up or asked any questions, please, 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 please let us know how it has gone. If anybody has used this opportunity to speak up and say a little bit about racism, you think it might work, help resolve some problems or improve things, please share how that, you know, evolved and what was the outcome, if it, you know, had made some sort of an impact. I would love, love, love to hear. Or you can email and we'll read it anonymously, untiljustice@gmail.com. Let's see. We'll hit the phone lines. Folks who are with us, if you have things to share, proceed.
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, this is the caller from Colorado. So you had a lot to say in the introduction. I want to clarify a couple of things. Like, first of all, I don't know how you expect to replace the system of white supremacy with justice if you can't even speak full-throated to a white person in the workplace, even if it's in a joking form. So I don't know if you guys understand, but white people – generally, they see black people as cowards already. So that's what's giving them the license to make these types of jokes around black people. So me giving a little bit of offense in a joking form, I stand by that. And the person wasn't in the office or he wasn't on the floor this week. I didn't get to work one-on-one with him to say what I wanted to say. But I do intend on calling him a white supremacist, you know, if something, you know, similar happens in the future. If other people in the office, you know, say something similar, I do intend on jokingly calling them a white supremacist. I don't know if my marriage, you can go ahead and ring the cowbell. I don't know if my marriage to a white supremacist kind of took away some of that fear because I called a white supremacist to his face with guns all over the house. I don't see these people, I don't know what it is, but I just, this whole like covert, like, you know, you got to go to HR and do it. It's like, I will do that. But I also think that we can have some offense in this. Like, I understand most of the listeners, they're not Christian. They don't have that context. My Bible says I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm not moving throughout this world constantly being victimized mentally. Like, I have something working for me. This man who I was married to, white supremacist position, this man now has a record on his, he's been arrested. He almost had his physician's license stripped from him. If they did a background check, a year and a half after he was arrested, he would have lost his license. He was really lucky that, you know, he got to keep his credentials and he had his record sealed so that if they do a background check now, he can still practice. But there's a window of time when if he got a background check, he would not be able to practice medicine in the state of Colorado. This man, I have tons of recordings on him. You know, if he were to ever hurt the child that we have together, it's done for him. All I have to do is write a letter to the American Medical Society. It's done for him. And the way that he was arrested had nothing to do with me. You know, there were recordings, there was a witness. I mean, I didn't have to say a word to the cop. And that's just how my God works. Like, he was sovereign in just getting me out of that situation and making sure that this person who, you know, was a horrible person got justice, essentially. And he's still pandering to this day, trying to prove that he's not a white supremacist. But I call him that. And I saw in the marriage how that puts him on defense. And so just the fruit of that, even with his family members, you know, I've called them white supremacists. They really switch up, and it caused fractures within their family. And so implementing that in the workplace, seeing how it might fracture this huddle that they have once a black person is in their space, that could work to my benefit. And I've never tried it before. I've been out of the workforce for a while, so I'm not, you know, I'm still kind of new to these dynamics. But I absolutely plan on employing it. I could be hard-headed. I could be whatever. But I don't see anything wrong with getting some offense in this system. And because of the divorce, I have money to blow. If I have to sue the entire, hospital, what do you call it, group, the conglomeration of hospitals that, you know, is an umbrella for the one that I work for, I'll do that. I can get really litigious. I have a amount of money that I can blow on an attorney very, very easily, and I can come up even more if it comes to that. So it just doesn't sit well with me. I think one of the callers said last week that, you know, we're in a constant defensive position. We can't get in any offense. I just don't agree with that. So that's just my piece. What is Gus say? United, independent. That's just how I feel, and that's how I plan on fighting white supremacy in my personal workplace.
United, independent. That is what I just said. And I just said, you try it out, please let us know how it goes, because you might be totally right and might be a different environment, you know, with what's going on now and all of that. Who knows? But let us know if you, you know, try it out. It might stop
it, it might be different because I'm a female. I can cry tears. I can say, you know, my emotions can come into play. I will say this. I didn't, you know, completely poo-poo last week's call. So I did make a record of it with HR. I thought that was an intelligent move to make. So just in case I do, you know, call this person a white supremacist, I have a record beforehand that I felt threatened or I felt whatever. And so that I had that to kind of cover me. So I did go ahead and open up a case. She actually called me a couple of minutes ago just to get an update of whether or not anything else happened this week, because I didn't see this particular employee this week. I can't really, you know, tell her anything, but it is going to be ongoing, and it's going to be a method. Like, this isn't a job that I need necessarily. You know, I'm kind of getting back on my feet after the divorce. So it is an experiment. Like, these people are, you know, demonic, and I want to see, you know, different methods of tearing the system down. And I think from what I've seen in my marriage could possibly work in the workforce. So that's just my little ignorant assessment.
Not ignorant, not little either. United, independent, that's your view. It might work. Like I said, let us know if you employ it. I do want to make sure I say, though, your decision to make an earlier report that you felt threatened, and I don't know if that's the specific language that you used, but if you did, like, bravo, like, that I think is better than going and reporting that I think this person is a racist or white supremacist or any of that, reporting, oh, wow, this person on June 2nd, 2020 at 4:55 Central Time or Mountain Time, you know, did such and such and such and such, and I felt unsafe and threatened in the workplace. Like, bang, that should be much, like, nobody should be slipping around like, I don't know, yum, yum, like, whoa, this environment with everything that's happening, like, we are all about safety. Nobody should be feeling threatened in the workplace. Now, let's investigate if this happened. Like, oh, yeah, let's get on that front and center, and particularly if you can point to policy and procedure measure. Like, oh, yeah, outstanding. Safety, being threatened in the workplace, report. I do not think going to HR to report racism is going to be constructive. That's when I've come to a conclusion on. I don't think this is going to – what everything that's happened right now, I don't think it's going to change that. HR is designed to do the exact opposite and protect the company. They will fight tooth and nail all the way. We are not racist. Something may have happened. It may have been incorrect, but it certainly was not an act of racism, and it certainly wasn't committed by the company. And they'll just go from there. But, yes, let us know, VGQ. Let us know how it proceeds. And I would encourage, because we've heard from other people, if you're in a job situation where that's not your primary source of income, or, you know, you're not dependent on this to make sure that you have a can of beans or a pot of soup or anything. Like, if you lose that job tomorrow or something, like, you're not going to die. It wouldn't be the end of the world. Hey, you have a little bit more latitude to experiment with your counter-racism code. We've had some folks in that position where they asked more questions, conducted a few experiments just to see how some of the white people in the office would respond. So if you recognize that you're in that position, try to take advantage. And not being reckless, not at all. That's not what Caller in Colorado said at all, just trying to see what things might work. These are some strategies if you used before, or if you have logical reason to think it might work again, try it out. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in, if you have a hand up, either thoughts for our caller in Colorado or thoughts on your own situation. Lon, she's all got our caller. I see one of our folks. She had dialed in, or she wrote in. Sorry, she wrote in, and she said that she had tried like 30 times, literally, and failed to dial in. Like, tried over and over and over and over and over, and not able to get in. And I said, I've had that same problem myself. It looks like she was able to get in today. I'm so glad. Persistence pays, but man, dialing in. Wow, racist man, racist woman, racist child, the usual suspects. Wow, some days it is like climbing Mount Everest just to make a phone call to participate in workplace racism or any of the Cows Live broadcasts. Let's see. Other folks who are with us, do you have comments, observations to share?
Greetings.
Retired firefighter in Florida. Good to hear from you, sir.
Yes, sir. Greetings to Gus. Greetings to everyone on the line. I was one of the participants who acknowledged your request to the caller, I believe, from Colorado. And my code just tells me that you are guaranteed, you are qualified, you are guaranteed qualification in your thoughts on the subject of racism, white supremacy, global system of racism, white supremacy. And I say go forward. If that's what you think is the correct thing to do, that's what you do, if that's your code. I was just responding based on your request and what my code basically have told me, and like I mentioned before, from experiences, exactly on what the subject matter was about. I think I heard something about, I could be wrong, I think I heard something about that you would cry, and I'm thinking that was the crying was to gain some sort of sympathy with the job?
Oh, yeah. I didn't finish what I was saying. But, yeah, so I'm just playing off of white people, right? Like, this is the system of white
I would
people.
Say, well, I would say, okay, you're confirming that you did say that. I would say
I
that, ma'am?
I said I did.
Yes, I know. I figured that out. I would say that in my experiences, and I've never heard of a situation where a black female crying to white people, it gave any constructive results on behalf of the black female. We're under a global system of racism, white supremacy. In general, it has been proven to me personally that white people do not care.
Okay, if I can respond.
That's all I can say on that. But try it anyway. If you think different, then go for it. Just drop to the ground and let it flow.
Show enough.
Let it flow and see what would take place.
If I can respond to that, can I be heard?
I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Well, I've seen my peers get a white physician locked up. I've seen my peers do that. I've seen my peers make a judge, you know, put him on probation and take all his guns away. So I can only speak on personal experiences like you can only speak on yours. I just don't know how we're supposed to build in black self-respect if we can't like do anything offensively. I don't understand that. I just cannot wrap my mind around that.
Can I get a pause real quick? It's kind of unrelated, but I thought real important. In that segment where Dr. Velsing was talking, I didn't play it, but it is in that interview, if you listen to the whole thing. She says, you won't understand gun mania if you don't understand white supremacy. Now, we are in another episode of gun mania. You just said when you did your crying episode that you saw it get your husband or ex-husband's guns taken away. How many guns? Do you have an approximation? Are we talking like four, three?
Yeah, I think I told you when we spoke privately, it's about he stockpiled about 50 guns. At one time
50?
There were 50.
Wait a minute, you said 50? 50?
Yes, sir.
50?
Yes, sir.
Wow. I just wanted to confirm the number. Were you going to add any more to the 50? I just want to make sure I heard it right.
Well, I've told you that before. And, it was at one particular point in the marriage, there was 50 guns. He purposefully, he had had 47, and he traded an AR-15 and a rifle in and bought some other stuff to make it 50. And once he had 50, he stored them in a garage. Yep.
The grandcester, not this is workplace racism, but I mean that is important. That's for right now because he's the type of person that I suspect this year he had 50. I don't know if he got them back or not. If they took them all, then that is spectacular, and kudos to you. That is, you know, job well done. But white people, just in my experience, they tend to do a lot of rule breaking, and especially about those guns. So I don't know if he got them back or what, but wow, 50 guns?
Yes, sir.
Context of white supremacy. This is workplace racism. I'm not deviating to the gun thing. Was that it, Prizefighter? You all, that was it? Anything else to say on?
Oh, that was all I had to say. VGQ, go for it.
I did want to say one other thing. In response to the firefighter. What was interesting, so after, this particular person, right before he got arrested, I was telling the police officer, you know, the experience or whatever. And fast forward about a month when I'm reading the police report, the police officer added stuff that I didn't even say just to get this man arrested. So I it was surprising because there was stuff that I didn't say. There's stuff that actually he said he didn't say that the police officer added. And this is a white supremacist, like super white supremacist looking police officer who had locked him up and wanted to guarantee that he was locked up by kind of fluffing the police report. So I thought that was fascinating.
Words are important. They are accustomed to doing that sort of thing with black people, fluffing the report and knowing how to add it so it looks like, oh, my gosh, this was an especially menacing episode. But I'm glad it worked out in your favor, and especially if that resulted in, you know, 50 firearms being confiscated from a race soldier. Spectacular effort, ma'am. VGQ, like I said, this happens before. We've had other episodes or, you know, other incidents where folks have had different thoughts, different views on, you know, the best way to proceed. Not looking for consensus. That's not needed. Just trying to follow logic and figure out what will work. Yeah, report back and let us know how things proceed in the workplace. I see the other folks with hands up. Let me read one of the emails really quick, and then I'll nab some of the other folks who are on the line. So this person, we got another racist joke, I think. All right, so this person wrote in. Black male victim of racism. He says, I overheard the following conversation at work. My back was turned sitting at a desk, but they were aware I was in the room and could hear their conversation. That's important. When there are those type of dialogues that happen, the white people might not necessarily be talking to you, but they are aware that you are present. And we've had other folks who have talked about this, or sometimes they'll make some sort of little snide remark or a joke or throw in some of their little Negro humor, Negro ebonics. They might even – sometimes they'll do it when they're talking to you. Other times they'll just – you'll be in earshot so they know you can hear what they're talking about. So he writes, male racist suspect number one. It's like what Hannibal Lecter said. Folks know Hannibal Lecter, right? The Silence of the Lambs, that's it. Cannibal movies where he's killing and eating people, white guy played by Anthony Hopkins. Well, he won an Academy Award, racist culture, Delectable Negro. So he says, it's like what Hannibal Lecter said, male racist suspect number two. What? Male racist suspect number one. No lives matter. And he's got laughter. I think this qualifies as a racist joke. Absolutely. Gee whiz. Like, That's what I mean. I would just write that down. I don't have to go over it. What do you mean, no lives matter, Bill? No. I would sit there and calmly. Oh, man, that was a new one. I hadn't heard that before. Let me get that again. It's like what Hannibal Lecter said, no lives matter. Did I get it right, Ted? That's it? No, like, yeah, that Hannibal, he did. I saw that one. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. Woo! And then I go right back around my work, not breaking a sweat, not calling anybody names, having uttered cracker, none of that. And then if they have the fireside chat, you can bring that up. You know, is this the sort of commentary that's appropriate for the workplace? Question. Bang! I suspect, and we had that before about the meetings, bringing it up. In my view, that qualifies as offense. Anytime you get to be asking questions, in my view, you are on the offense. Answers have to be provided. Even if they don't provide answers, that can work in your behalf sometimes. So, like that, you ask somebody, we're at the fireside chat, and you ask, man, is this here joke about no lives matter? Is that appropriate for the workplace? Now, if you just get silence and nobody speaks up, pardon? Is anybody? Roger? Mr. Johnson? Anybody? Can anybody help me here? Is this all right? This is acceptable for the workplace? This is all right? Oh, you all are going to think about it. Okay. Well, so I'll come back. We have our meeting tomorrow. I'll come back and ask. I'll put that in the ass tomorrow. And you just wait. But, I mean, that's the way I would handle those type of things, if anything is said at all. I found that works really nice. Sometimes they're just doing these sort of things to get a response. They love that chimp out, love the website, just to get you to chimp out and, can't believe it, and all that. And then sometimes they come and fire you and all the rest of it. So racist jokes. Love the racist jokes. Much obliged. UntilJustice@gmail.com. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in, if we have missed you totally and you have commentary, line should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. Oops. Or sorry.
No problem. Hi, Gus. Hi, callers. Yep, it was me 33 times. I tried. I guess I don't even know what to make of it. It was weird and frustrating, to say the least, because I had a lot I wanted to share. I don't know, because I mean, I want to share something that's not necessarily work-related, because I fear I won't get in tomorrow. But
my job, how about do the workplace racism stuff first, and then you can get that in just in case.
Well, it's minuscule. I work, everything's kind of just bubbling under the surface. We can use metaphors. It's just there, but we really don't talk about it. But I will say this, a Latino white male, we have had a few discussions in a little, like, private area, because I work in cubicles, and gentleman behind me is a Latino male. We've had some very interesting conversations, but I'm very measured with what we talk about. Of course, I mean, the program has been so pivotal in how I express myself in workplace settings. I have been able to share tips to my coworkers. He said to me a few things. There's a supervisor, a firefighter supervisor here in the South Florida area that got in trouble for speaking about, I don't know if you saw the picture, with all the black, the white protesters kneeling in front of the black protesters. And then after they all kneeled together, and my other coworker actually got him to admit that he agreed with what the firefighter said, the supervisor that was on leave, he agreed with that white people should not be bowing down to black people. So that was kind of interesting. But at the same time, he tells me that he heard a black, and I've been just telling everybody, please just do not talk about it. And if you do talk about any of the protests, Black Lives Matter, any type of opinion, just make sure, scope the area. He said that he recorded a supervisor saying cracker ass cop. So he said he told the person he has it, and the recording, he says that when he heard the conversation, he found it interesting and he began to record. I don't know. He's a bit of a liar, so maybe I don't really believe he really has this recording that he's claiming to have, but he says he has it. So I've been just telling everyone to be careful. Someone else's work related, I went to get a meal yesterday at a restaurant, a drive-thru, and the young lady, non-white black young lady, was working the window, and when I went up, she was so upset, and she said, I said, hey, how are you today? And she said, that guy just asked me if I had coronavirus. And I said, what? And I saw him. It was a white male. I saw him through his side view mirror in front of me laughing. And I just saw him laugh. Of course, you're not thinking anything of it. Now when I replay it back, he was just being, insulting, being a racist. So I said, what? I said, why do you think he asked you that? She goes, I don't know, I guess because I'm black. And I could just feel the pain in her voice when she said that. I said, let me tell you. I told him, what did you say? She said, I told him, no. I said, I wouldn't even have answered. The next time someone asks you, if that ever happens again, I said, you look him in his face without a smile, a snicker, and ask, why would you ask me that? And then he'll probably give some, lame excuse, or I said, and ask again, why? Why did you feel the need to ask me that? And then whatever, I said, doesn't matter whatever response they give, then say, well, do you have the coronavirus?
I said, I don't know. I know it's kind of hard. You're at work, but he had no right to ask you that. I mean, you're not showing any symptoms. You weren't coughing. You had on a mask. I don't even know why. And she was so grateful, but I could tell she was very, very hurt. So these racists are, as we would say, loose with their insults. Even they're going even harder now with insulting everyone they can get in contact with. But as far as work, that's it. I did have something else, but it's not work-related. But I would love to share it. I've had a rough time in this past week. And on that, I'll mute my line. Or you let me know if I can talk.
Oh, are you going to? Yeah, I thought as long as it's not too lengthy, like,
no, no,
like
no.
30-minute anecdote. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Let's hear
it. Oh, no. No. Okay, so I have a friend, someone that I would consider a very close friend. She is non-white, black, but she is Jamaican. Was born and raised in Jamaica, came to South Florida as a teenager. And I knew she was actually the first Republican that I met, a person who spoke to me about it. And when she started sharing with me, this is when President Obama was in office. So she spoke, very heavily against President Obama, that he divided the country, and she homeschools her kids. So because she homeschools her kids, she has studied American history extensively. So she gets very deeply into the Democrats want to keep you poor. Democrats want to keep you this. Democrats, you know, look at Chicago, look at Detroit, the same rhetoric that, you know, it's just been really hard. It got so bad over the last week that I had to tell her just stop, you know, because I kept coming back with, look, I just want to see justice. And I would always put the definition of justice. I would always just said, I don't care about parties. I want to see justice. I want to see the end of racism, white supremacy. And she literally told me that will never happen. Justice will never happen on the earth. That will, in her words, it would only happen in heaven. So I've had a really hard time because she was someone that I really, I still is someone that I do care for, but she continuously, I mean, just maybe like an hour ago, she sent me a video with Candace Owens and Tatum, and I don't know if you are familiar with the other black conservatives that are talking about, you know, what they talk about. But I'm not even going to respond anymore. So I'm not responding to you. So I did get into it a little bit with the Atlanta shooting and the justification of it and a little bit, but I told her I'm not even going to go there anymore with her. And on that note, I will get my line. But I am just grateful for the program. Thank you, Gus.
Much obliged. Make sure I get it in. If you don't like the cows, so what? If you like the cows, so what? It's exactly what she just said. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately, like right now, if we can, sense of urgency. That is very common. Talked about that before. In fact, we can rewind all the way back. Mark Crutcher was on the program in 2009. He did the documentary film Ma'afa 21, White Man Suspected Racist. It's about abortion and racism and all that. Some constructive information in it. He was on the program, and one thing that he said was he said they did this study where they got people together, divided them into two groups. They told one group, got this problem. It is challenging, but there is a solution. Go in there, have at it, work as long as you need. There is an answer. That group, they went in, they worked. They told the other group, there you go, here's the problem. It can't be solved, but, you know, work at it, give it your best shot, take as much time as you need. The group that they told this problem can be solved, they worked substantially longer and substantially harder. And he said the conclusion from that analysis that he drew, that I agree, people don't think a problem can be solved. Hey, no need to go about it. Hey, let's just throw our hands up. We can do something. Sit around and blame black people. No good coons in Chicago. Look at it. That's what we said yesterday. I said that yesterday. No good coons in Chicago shooting each other. Look at Detroit. Kwame Kilpatrick, the Democrat. Just run everything into the Al Sharpton. You know, We got a new Whitney Houston. We got nutritional Uncle Tom's, too. I mean, we got a whole lot of that. Even the fictitional. They talked about Aunt Jemima this week.
I have to tell you this, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what the bottom line that she and her husband said, that there are racists out there, Mr. Neely Fuller, there are racists out there, but racist, the issue with blacks is not racism. The issue with blacks and why white people have, treated blacks the way they have, is purely economic. They didn't want to end slavery because of the economical loss. It wasn't due to their skin color. And that we are teaching our young people about the boogeyman, the white man boogeyman that's out there, because we teach our kids and we're telling our kids, we're victimizing them, and we're telling them that they're victims, and that's why they're not succeeding. The boogeyman white man, and also Chicago and Detroit.
Mr. Fuller says minimize contact because this has deviated. So the real brief one on this one, so we can get back to workplace racism, would be minimize contact. I probably would not be spending – we're under, like, an emergency. Like, we could pause all of that. Like, is the Rona still happening? Like, I thought before we got to that, like you said, you went to the drive-thru, and this black employee, black female victim – was there and really distraught because this race soldier came through the drive-thru and, you got the Rona, don't you? And driving off. Like, all of the serious things that we got happening on the planet, and that's, like, the talking point that we're going to use for the middle of 2020. Like, all right, well, much about that, it would be total. Minimize contact. Like, I'm not fixing to argue with you. Like, I told a listener, like, man, I own a Vitamix, and we have done – like close to 60 programs in the last 3 months. Like, I do not have time to sit and squabble with other victims of racism. Like, time and energy for this year, with as terrible as it has been, oh, man. I do not have time and energy for Candace Owens. She's a victim of racism. I do not have any names to call her, but I do not have time and energy to squabble with her or anyone who has the talking points that she has about anything, really. It was David Clark. They are so good at that, right? I was so, what happened to David Clark? Thomas in New York, remember? It was David Clark 4 years ago. They totally dropped him. That's another reason. I don't get invested in that at all, because sometimes they'll bring him out, and you fuss, and we get coon David Clark, and just like Aunt Jemima, and then they get rid of him. And it's, oh, man, where's David? That was my favorite coon. They're not no more David Clark? Now we got Candace. Okay, so we'll name call her for a while. Nope. Minimize contact. Be logical. If that's the view that you have, I already see what Mr. Fuller says. You don't understand. It seems like you do not understand white supremacy racism, and so there's going to be a lot of confusion. Minimize contact. I'm not even going to engage in this dialogue with you. As for the workplace racism component, like, wow, that's what I mean. Like, yeah, time and energy. The workplace racism component, like that, phenomenal black self-respect. I'm glad that you took the time, because I think for a lot of folks, they might not have even been, you know, as observant to be kind of picking out that something was wrong with her. And then the guy snickered before. You said you kind of had to play it back to put it all together, and then to ask, like, you know, are you okay, and try to give her some feedback and try to tell her what to do next time. Like, I think a lot of folks probably wouldn't even have done all that. So I think that's black self-respect, just, you know, in this environment, to try to offer a little bit of support to another black person. But, I mean, that essential employee, that's another one. The people working at food restaurants and those sort of things, they didn't shut down. They've been open the whole time. Black people working in those sort of establishments, number one, they are more susceptible to COVID-19. That's what they said. That's what we had a person who wrote in last week. That's what she said. She's doing contact tracing. And she said, yeah, that's what stood out to her. It seems like a lot of the black people who have this virus, they're at essential, like her, working at the drive-thru and other, the delivery drivers. That's what she says she's been seeing. It seems like that's where a lot of these folks are getting the virus out of, what have you. They're not able to social distance or just stay at home and stay away from people. And then on top of that, you got these sort of racist insults the whole way through. I don't know if she's still getting her hazard pay or what have you, but then you got folks coming by, racist, oh, you got the Rona, get away from me. It has to be an extensive code The suggestions you gave, I think, are great. Not responding at all, looking at them. No, I don't. Why did you ask me that? Question. Do you have the virus? Question. Lots of those. You can even ask if they have a supervisor or manager there. We have customers that come through and ask, do you have the Rona? What should our response be? See what they say. But, I mean, that's the environment that we're in, and I suspect it's going to be a lot more of that sort of direct hostility directed at black people for the rest of the year. Yeah, probably worldwide, but definitely in the States, like acutely. Probably here, Brazil, places where you have a lot of black people, it's probably going to be that type of thing and direct violence for the rest of the year. Much obliged for dialing in. I'm so glad you were able to get on the line today, ma'am. And I hope things, you know, I know it's been horrendous for lots of us. Mute your line if you know you're on and have a lot of unnecessary background noise. Other folks that we missed totally, if you have comments, questions to share, the line should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Greetings to you and the guest or caller. Yeah. So, okay. So the lady that's on the line that was married to a suspected racist, is this live, right? This is live. The firefighter is live talking to her. This isn't a pre-recorded. The lady that was saying.
This is live. There was a recording at the beginning where they were talking last weekend, but yes, this is live. They were both on the program with us today. I think they might both still be with us now.
Okay. And the lady, she's trying to figure out a way to slickly throw in that the people that she's around, she suspects they're practicing racism.
I think the way she described it is she works with white people who make, like, racist comments and little slick remarks on the job. And so since these are, like, their racist jokes, this is their form of humor, she was thinking of responding by, like, laughing and saying, oh, ha, 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 so you're a racist or you're a white supremacist, and saying that on the job in kind of a joking way and saying, oh, well, you know, that was my humor. That was my attempt at making a joke to see if, you know, that gets them to stop. That was kind of what she was sharing with us and trying to see if that would work in a workplace setting.
Okay. Did you guys come up with something that'll work for her as far as ceasing them from practicing the practice they practice?
I don't think she's tried that.
I'm on the line.
I don't think she's.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's here. Yeah. I don't think she. You haven't tried that yet, have you? You were just theorizing?
Right. I would like to try it. I didn't get the opportunity to work with the person who I wanted to try it on. He's not
okay.
White. He's a non-black, non-white, white identified person that I wanted to try it on just to bring some fractures to the team per se.
Oh, okay.
But they suggested that I go to HR and make a record, and I've done that part, but I still want to call him that in a joking form.
Oh, and but he's not classified as white, right?
This particular person I was calling about last week, no, but there's other white people that I could try it on as well. But the person I was calling about, no, he's not white.
Gotcha. So he's just another victim practicing what's been done to him on you. Because whatever reason. Okay, I get it. I was just trying to get a feel for what was really going on, and then I got kind of with the clips and stuff. Is this live? Or so that's what happened. So, well, I wish you well with that. Me dealing with anybody that says anything against black people when it's me, I don't participate in throwing other black people under the bus in front of non-black. Of course, I say little stuff here and there, but just I try to follow the code. I try to do the 10 stops. I really try. So just as far as with the Caucasians and the non-black victim, Yeah, you can, if you want, say you suspect they're practicing racism. I don't know if they'll how they'll take it, because they're normally in defense mode at all times, because it's their running joke. So they're normally in defense mode as soon as you say anything against them and their practice. So you could try and see. Me, I don't interact. I tune them completely. I don't interact with them. I keep it literally about whatever the agenda is, and no break, recess. No, I won't even hear you talking because I'm not going to be around you. That's just me. But however you're willing to deal with it, that's cool too. Especially, I don't know, I feel so bad you're in that tragic relationship. Oh, so I guess I get it, as well as you just want to stick them with something. So I wish you well with that. And I would tune them out, but if you can come up with something that might hit them, you can give them a sentence and leave it alone, because they don't care. But if you want to stab them with one good one, you come up with a cool little something. I don't know.
I want to stab them with something. That's really what was at the heart.
I get it. So think about it, but until you come up with something just genius, I would just blank them out. And then, hey, why are you not talking? What's going on with you? I would just act like they aren't even there. I'm a professional at that. So just blank them out until you're ready for your comeback, your verse on them, and then just pull back. So I just wanted to say that for that, because I understand. Trust me, I understand. And for my workplace racism, I have to go back to work next week. It's a different city and probably different people, so we'll see what they are. They're not really trying to make me unemployed so I get the pandemic relief forever, maybe. They sent out, since last Monday, we've really been talking about this, how black people just might matter. And the owner of us, one of his colleagues, maybe an investor, that let me know that today was June 19th and how important this historic day is, because in 1865, the order issued in Texas, the Union General ended slavery. Oh, who'd have knew? So he's giving us all this information that we never would have known. This wouldn't even came up. Juneteenth, no teenth has anything to do with us, if they weren't trying to respond to whatever the setup is with George Floyd or whomever the black male that they're heightening with his death. If that wouldn't have happened, we would never be talking about Juneteenth at work. So this is very interesting. So what I'm going to do is ride the wave with this whatever it is, whatever they're handing out, offering, giving. Unless it's food, I don't want to go to any meetings or anything, but if you're giving on all my mental stress leave, I want all of any amenities, whatever amenities you're giving out, just to give out at work, because you feel so bad because of your white power that you call privilege, I'm with it. So I'm just checking it out each week. It's very interesting. So we'll see. And I'll mute my line. And thank you for taking my call. And thanks for listening, ma'am.
Juneteenth in the Bay Area. I love it. I love it. Observe if the opportunity arrives where you can ask a question. That's always great. But, yeah, observe and see if it's any way where you can work it to solve some problems for you or improve your work situation. Like, that is always great. But, yeah, observe in fascinating times that we are in. I hope when they restart you next week, I'm not surprised at all they wouldn't allow you to be unemployed and just chilling, get that pandemic relief. Like, no way. We got another terroristic family that is waiting to gobble you up next week. But hopefully they'll be safe, well-behaved folks that you can, do some professional work with at the end of next week. I did want to make sure I got in. One, metaphors are important, but I generally only ask on the compensatory call-in that we not use metaphors. But that was important. The metaphor, if you just want to stab at them, like, ooh-wee, quite a metaphor, particularly because I made an error
saying that it was a white person who had been terrorizing our caller in Colorado, and it was a non-white person who was doing it. So I'm glad she corrected me so we get the details correct. We have a victim who has been making these crass racist comments in the workplace, which happens a lot as well. But I did also want to make sure I get in.
Sorry,
it was a non-white person?
I did. Right. I didn't intend to really stab them, so I just want that on the record.
Right. I said metaphor. But I do want to make sure I say, because no one, not myself or retired firefighter, I don't even think Thomas in New York last week said, you should go to HR and report this. I certainly didn't say that. I would never recommend that. And, in fact, I just said today, don't go to HR. That's not what they're there for. They're not there to take reports on racism. They're there to deflect and defend the company. I just said that today. No one gave that suggestion. If I'm incorrect on that, if somebody today, retired firefighter, if that was a part of your suggestion, then you can speak up with Thomas in New York. But no one said that, and that's been said twice. Paying attention to detail is, like, critical. That's, like, right there. And I mean just slightly below keeping your composure for workplace racism. Like, if we are not paying attention to words, oh, man, white people are going to clown. I mean,
Hang on one second.
So I'm not sure why it keeps coming up. Somebody said go to HR with this. That was not Gus's recommendation or anyone else.
Can I be heard?
HR. Hang on. I don't make sure. I don't want to be interrupted either because I said that a few times.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I have not and do not recommend going to HR ever to report racism. Now, the threatening and safety being very specific, if you are going to HR to say that, oh, this happened and I felt unsafe and threatened, grand. And really what I was saying about, you know, if you write it down and say, is this acceptable, appropriate for the workplace, if there is a meeting, that's a great environment. That was what I said, what I think is great. If you have some sort of meeting, that's great. You can go to HR and report about, you know, being threatened or safety or what have you. But that's not, you know, something that I would suggest, generally speaking. I've not found HR to be very sympathetic to Negro concerns, me or any other black. I don't think I've ever talked to anybody where they said, yeah, I went to HR, and they handled that problem lickety split. Like, I went in there at 9:05 on Monday, and by lunchtime, I've never heard that. Generally, HR is a part of why these things go on for 10 years and nothing gets solved. Let's see. We'll get them in order. So I guess, caller in Colorado, do you want to make sure you responded, clean up anything?
Yeah, I think if you go back and listen to the recording, there was a female caller after I spoke who suggested I go to HR, and I can use sexual harassment as the reasoning, but HR was mentioned in last week's call.
Oh, okay. Sexual harassment, that's different. That's, if you're going to report sexual harassment, they will respond to that, but not racism. That is not something to go to HR about. Just make sure we're very clear on that. That is not a suggestion from Gus T, and I don't even think people get that out on this program. Retired firefighter?
Yes, I second the motion. I've never advised anybody about going to HRS. If you hear that explosion outside, that just normal stupid behavior going on. But anyway, the only time I think I have ever been in such a meeting, it was a white person, suspected racist, that requested and received a HRS meeting because for some reason he thought that I would do something like that on a particular, that's a war story from way back. It's not even important to even mention it, bring it up. But, no, I've never recommended something like that to another person.
No, I do have a great story, though.
Let's see. I see the other folks who dialed in that we've missed totally. Folks that have a hand up that we have missed completely, if you have commentary to share, line should be open.
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, this is construction victim convict.
Sir, we can hear you.
May I be heard?
We can hear you. Yes, sir.
Yes, for the female victim in Colorado, I, too, am very interested in seeing what the results would be for you to try to suggest that a white person is racist in a joking manner. I'm hearing some background noise. Can I be heard?
Okay, I'm here now. I did hear it. Yes, sir, I can hear you. I did hear the background noise. I was about to respond, but I don't hear it. So, yes, sir, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yes. Okay, like I was saying, I was very interested in the black female victim from Colorado, I believe, in her. I want to see exactly what the results would be for her calling a white person or even a non-white person, for that matter, you know, white supremacist. Because I have seen, you know, where that has went horribly wrong on, in my profession. It usually escalates, as you said. It will go from, you know, a white person will call, say, oh, we're just joking. We'll let's joke. We'll call you a nigger, spear trucker, jungle bunny, all types of stuff. I've seen all, heard all types of things happen. Or even goes sexual. I haven't seen that happen. Because now they say, oh, we're just joking. So I'll be very interested to see if that does work for her, though. And I'd like to share my workplace racism report, if that's okay. May I be heard?
Yes, sir. Proceed.
Okay. Yes. So I was working nights, and when I had to operate a different piece of equipment, the white operator that works the day shift, he disabled the hydraulic function so that I wouldn't be able to operate the equipment. And because it was at night, the lever that is used to engage the hydraulic function was hard to locate, to which it took me approximately 5 to 10 minutes to find the lever and get the equipment operational. Now, this disabling of the hydraulic system is something that is never done. Only applying a parking brake is sufficient. So I suspect that this white man was practicing white supremacy, so he was trying to make me look bad in front of the supervisor because everyone was standing around waiting for me. So but that's all I have to say. That's my report for tonight.
Mm-hmm. Sabotaging the Negro, that is one of the favorite activities, system of racism, white supremacy. More of those examples than we can think of. And I think the sad thing is that a lot of times, myself and for many of us, we don't grasp it. Like, we won't catch it until maybe it's too late. Sometimes we don't catch it at all, that these type of things are happening. They're going and messing up equipment and doing things to mess it up so that we can't. I think they even have that. They have some sort of show in the UK. I think it's called Sticks and Stones. It's on ITV, I think. And it's about workplace racism. And it's a black male. He goes to give some sort of presentation using the computer, and they've sabotaged him. They messed it up, you know, before he goes, so it won't work. He can't get the screen to show. This is standard operating procedure. So I think, one, when we grasp, like, oh, that's what's happening. I got it. It keeps us from thinking, because a lot of that, we talk so many times about how we end up having really low self-esteem and low confidence, thinking that we messed up, because that's what happens in the TV show. He doesn't realize this, that they sabotaged him, but he thinks, oh, I'm just some idiot, and I don't know how to work the computer, and I'm so stupid, and blah, 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 and beat yourself up. We do that all the time, and that is a part of the system. Like, oh, no, it's not racism. It's you. It's something wrong with me. And it's me. No, that's not it at all. I'm being sabotaged here. That's the sort of thing. Also, I would try and point that out if incorrect things are happening, if there are irregularities in procedure, like what you said, this is never done. We don't disassemble the hydraulic machine. We don't do that on a daily basis. I would point those out and report them. I wouldn't even call anybody, you know, name calling or what have you, but just what's the procedure with the hydraulic? Do we disassemble that each day at the end of each workday, or is that something that's left assembled each day? Oh, okay. Well, it seems like it was, you know, and put the date and time, it seems like it wasn't assembled correctly this day. It caused me some problems, a little extra time. Is that something that we can be consistent about? If this, you know, we have to make sure to plan ahead because we're doing that now, or we're going to leave it assembled every day, just to make sure that we're all consistent, on the same page, as they say in the workplace. That's the way I would bring that sort of thing up. And I would bring it up every time there is some sort of divergence from what the normal policy and procedure is, the normal customs in the workplace. It switches, and it's to your disadvantage. It's something that's adverse to you, or it causes you a lot of extra time, or makes you look like you're incompetent in front of other people. You don't know what you're doing because all this has been moved around or sabotaged. I would just point that out as, we had some irregularities in procedure. Things were not left in the normal way that we do in the shop or in the work area here.
Yep. Thank you for the suggestion. Can I add one more thing about the HR?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I believe it was, I think it was last week, the caller from New Jersey said that the HR person is a family member. That tends to be the case in my business also. A lot of times the HR person is family, and I don't believe family member, I could be wrong, is ever going to, indict another white supremacist of being a racist, but I could be wrong. And I'll meet my line there.
HR is there to protect the company. They do not have your back. They are not your homie. That is definitely the way I would encourage folks to think about the HR departments. Let's see. Other folks that we missed completely, number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Folks we missed totally.
Hello? Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. I'm calling from Washington, D.C., and I listened to this program. I'm a little nervous. I listened to it on YouTube, and this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with workplace racism, but I have a question. I am a victim of white supremacy. And my question is, I have listened to quite a few of your interviews throughout the years when you interview people who are classified as white, and I would like to know, have since this pandemic started, have the white people called you or emailed you or contacted you in any way to get your Amazon wish list? To get all of that filled for you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay, that's the thing that I am having difficulty understanding, because people who are classified as white are protesting, and you have been on the air for several years now, and you are trying to eliminate it. You have interviewed people who are classified white, and I don't understand why they're not giving to you to help you. So that is my question. Thank you.
Dedication to the system of white supremacy, racism. And I could do it just be that, Gussie is here talking crazy and, not giving out accurate information. Certainly there are many folks who listened to the cows once or many times over the years, and that's the conclusion that they have come to, even many non-white people. But generally I think that white people, I think I tweeted that, there are a lot more constructed things that racists could do if they were really sincere about solving this problem, like right now, than rolling around in the street and looting cheesecakes and all the other nonsense, pulling down statues. Like, there's lots of constructive things that they could do right now that would solve a whole lot of problems. Like, hey, what about those folks in Flint? Like, Gus is a coon, forget him. All right. What about those niggers in Flint? Like, they did all that whining about water, and it seemed like we did kind of deliberately mess them over in the first place as to why they were whining about the water. All right, we'll go and get them all the water that they need. We got them hooked up. They still don't trust the pipes, and it's, all bam, we'll hook them. I haven't heard that, man. If that happened, we got listeners in the Michigan area, let me know. But I can think of a lot more constructive things than rolling around in the street or going back out to yell, hands up, don't shoot, just like we did 6 years ago. You better That is not neither here nor there. Workplace racism. 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Let's see. Other folks that we missed totally, if you have comments here to share.
Hello.
Line should be open. Yes, ma'am. Caller in
Hi,
Georgia.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm the person who suggested HR, so let's get that out the way.
Woo!
We're not going to go back and forth.
Was it for sexual abuse specifically?
Yes, it was
for
because according to what I heard last week, I didn't go back and play it, she said that the person called her a man. I said that could be some kind of transgender thing. I don't know. I would go that way. When it comes to racism, I totally support what the firefighter said, Thomas from New York said, and what you said. That is all. Leave me out of it. Goodbye. Well, goodbye for now. I'll still listen. Thank you.
Much obliged. Much
obliged. She mentioned it, and then Thomas in New York mentioned I could take the recordings to HR. So both callers mentioned HR.
I see. I don't even know about taking the the man part, I guess. If you're gonna do that part, the sexual harassment part, that I think works. They can be helpful for sex. Anything really other than racism, they might be helpful. Racism, absolutely not. No circumstances, not today. I don't care how much they protest. Like, no, that is not going to work. They already got that on lock. Let's see. Other folks. Let's see. The people we missed totally. If you have a hand up, line should be open.
Can I be?
Oh, sorry.
I heard both of you. Let's see.
I can wait.
Our caller in? Oh, okay. B in Toronto is yielding. So our caller, 4731.
Thank you. Hi. This is Natha Valley from California. I guess I was just calling on this, like, show, because I guess it's, like, one of my favorite ones to, like, listen to and to also, like, participate in. I guess, like, the type of work that I do is kind of, like, related to social work. And basically, I help, like, disabled people with, like, independent living skills. And I guess, like, the whole, like, phrase or whatever, independent living skills, can be, like, kind of vague in, like, what that actually is. So lately, people had, like, taken on, like, a larger load for, like, a while. I guess I was just kind of, like, starting to feel, like, really, like, annoyed and, like, drained, like, about work. Because what, like, really kind of pissed me off was, like, last week, one of my clients, she's actually, like, she's non-white, black, Jamaican. I had been helping her sign up for her unemployment benefits for, like, the COVID-19. And it was just kind of like, I guess, like, she doesn't, like, understand that, like, you know, like, a lot of the systems are, like, really backed up, or, like, there's, like, a lot of people, you know, trying to call, you know, like, the unemployment line and, or, like, EDD and not, like, getting in and stuff. So, like, what I noticed is, like, whenever, like, I go to, like, help her, like, she has, like, this non-black, like, white boyfriend. And I feel like they're always kind of, like, questioning, constantly questioning, like, what I'm trying to do and stuff. And I have to kind of explain it to them over and over again, and they still kind of question it. And that's just been kind of annoying. And there's this other client that I have. She's kind of like, I'm not sure if she's like Latino, but she's like white. And there's always some kind of like drama or conflict at her like room and board that she lives with. Before there were there's this like lady and her son. They're both non-white black people who were like living in like the other room, and like my client will constantly kind of like complain about them, and like, and I guess eventually they like left and stuff. And now there's like another like non-white black lady and her mother who are like in that like room. And yeah, she's just always like saying that, or what my client told me was that like, she thinks that like, I know black people are like tough and mean. And like when she said that, I was like, oh, what do you mean by that? And then she's just like kind of like, oh, I don't know. But I didn't really press like more on that, but I guess especially from like that moment, like I haven't really like, or like, yeah, I don't like her. And I've been kind of trying to find ways like to get like this lady and the like white lady off of my caseload, because I know it's just like not you know, like, I want to go to work and not like have to feel like I don't want to be there and stuff. And like, yeah, if you're like stressing me out and all that stuff, I don't really want to work with you. Especially like the whole EDD thing, like I just felt that like it was really ungrateful and disrespectful. I told my parents about it, and like they said like, oh, you need to call them and like, you know, like ask for like an apology or demand an apology from them. And that's what I did, and they said sorry, but, and I still don't want to, like, work with, like, these two people, so I'm just, like, looking forward to having, like, less on my caseload, so that I'll be able to, you know, like, study for graduate school and, like, not be as, like, stressed out or having to deal with, like, you know, other people's drama. That's it.
What are you going to grad school for?
Oh, well, actually, I'm trying to, like, apply to medical school.
Oh.
But I just felt people grad school.
Awesome. You need more healers. That's spectacular. Keep up the good work. Yeah, well, I would be mindful about stress. I wouldn't want to be too stressed. That's not good for your health to you know, it might be a signal from the creator, you know, if you're feeling like acute stress from this and having to work with these clients specifically, that's definitely something to pay attention to. I don't know what the procedure is for your job specifically in terms of how you're able to get clients off your caseload. I don't know if it's a timeout type thing or if there's a, like, procedure where you can request to be rid of a client. I don't know if it's a situation where either you could trade with someone, you get them this racist woman and you get somebody else back. I don't know if that's an option or if you could just get rid of that client, give it to somebody else and just have your caseload be reduced by one or two or whatever it is. I guess one thing to keep in mind, if you stay in that occupation, you could get another racist client because there are lots of those out there, racists. So you might end up with another client who wants to tell you about, you know, the niggers down the hall that she doesn't like or he doesn't like and how loud they are and all the rest of it. So
yeah, exactly,
you know,
that is
something to think about. If you, you know, are going to stay in that profession to either – I mean, yeah, you know, thinking about that, like, man, if I'm going to stay in this profession, it's pretty likely that I'll get another racist client. So – oof, either I need to have a really good code for getting rid of these clients. Like when I get one and they're going to make all these explicitly racist comments, like, bam, all right, I know the code for getting rid of them so I don't have them on my caseload. Or I have to get a really good code to where this is not bothering me, or I figure out a way to neutralize it so they stop doing this in my presence at least. Or I might have to seriously think about, you know, how long do I want to work in this position? Because the racist factory is probably going to keep cranking out racist white people. So, yeah, you could get rid of this white woman, I suspect. Maybe. I don't know. Some jobs, it's kind of hard to get, you know, rid of clients on your caseload. It might, I hope that's not the case for you, but it probably will be another racist client. I don't know. Do folks have any suggestions on how you could neutralize this? And or get her off the client list? It seems like it would have to be one of those three, unless somebody else has another option.
Hi, Gus.
Be in Toronto. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I work in a similar profession where I encounter clients in different venues. The last plantation was the group home. Been met with a very racist client. So one thing you definitely do not want to do is you do not want to say, how do I get this client off the caseload? Because that's going to reflect poorly on you and how you work with the client. So the way to work around this, I would recommend, is pull out your policies and procedures regarding the abuse policy, which the organization should have one, and set boundaries with the client. And then when you formulate, because the client is going to complain, when you start formulating that, you are setting boundaries, as well as you're adhering to the policy, you're implementing the policies and the procedures around abuse, in particular racial abuse, in which it's inappropriate language, and you let the client know, this is inappropriate language, and, we can certainly discuss something else, but if you want to continue, then I'm going to have to end my services for today. And then with each incident of the racist remarks, you write it down and you show in your way as to how you've set a boundary to it, how you've advised that it's inappropriate, and then you send that information to your supervisor so that as it accumulates, you're building a case around it so that eventually they will drop the client from your caseload because the client has been repeatedly inappropriate with you and you're using the abuse policy around racial harassment as a result. The client will complain. So in that case, you would then safeguard yourself by saying that you've used the boundary strategy, you've utilized discussing the inappropriateness of the comment and why it's inappropriate, and you just keep building your case that way. So that's what I would recommend because that's how I was able to get some of the clients that were less favorable off of the caseload by focusing on their attitude and their behavior and focusing on the fact that despite repeated reminders, if they were not respecting that, then either the supervisor will step in and investigate, and then eventually they will get dropped from the caseload. So they will move the file along to another worker, or they may discharge the client altogether because they are not respecting the service delivery offered to them by you. So that's what I would recommend as well. Okay. Let's see. It's been an eventful week. I had met with the manager and the program director, the area manager and program director on the plantation three times this week. And so to go to Wednesday there was a meeting, and it was a follow-up on an email I had sent regarding the unprofessionalism and inappropriateness and plain out insubordination of some of the coworkers. It's a white working force, a white workforce. So I had outlined and actually produced evidence of these being insubordinate acts. I was told by the manager and the program director that that I should be setting deadlines with the coworkers on how to do their job, even though there's protocols and the procedures that pre-existed my presence onto the plantation. So the coworkers are fully aware of the schedule as to when things need to be done. They just choose not to do it. I relayed that message to the area manager and the program director, and I just really find that their response to me during Wednesday's meeting was that, it's something to do with my delivery. They made it very ambiguous. When I would ask for specifics, they made it very ambiguous, making it hard to pinpoint. So I kept asking questions. I noticed that they were getting irritated by the fact that I was asking questions, but at that point I really didn't care. I needed the details. So then on Wednesday, I also requested to have a meeting with one of the coworkers who had made false allegations, one of many, but the ringleader who was making false allegations about me. The area manager and the program director had said that they had suggested a meeting, that she come to a meeting, the one that was making the accusations, and that she had declined because she said that she felt uncomfortable around me. So I stressed to have a meeting so that because I need to know the specifics of her allegations, I need to know the date, the time, who was present, where this occurred, what was the exact verbiage, and I've been pressing for this information for over a month. So yesterday, the day before yesterday, so this would have been on Tuesday, the meeting with the accuser was on a Wednesday. And so when I had asked her what the exact verbiage was, her answer was she didn't know. And I said, well, how do you not know? You know, we're in an environment where when there's crisis management, we have to write an incident report, which results in immediate recall of the occurrence. So this is not the type of profession where, you know, if extenuating circumstances occurred, somehow you just don't know. I pressed her further about the time. I pressed her further about other aspects. She was giving very little detail. I noticed that the area manager and the program director were filling in the gaps for her, of which I asked them to please not do that because I need to know specifically from her, since she's making the allegation, as to what those concerns are. When it came to my turn as to what my concerns were, because she had made a pattern, like a series of false allegations about me, I made sure that I had all my facts laid out with dates, times, down to what she was wearing. And so based on that, the area manager reprimanded her. But I noticed that they only reprimanded her verbally. They wouldn't write things down for disciplinary action. And for the several acts that she's done, which was egregious, including creating a toxic environment through harassment, they they did not write down the information. And then they would turn around and say, is it anything to do with my delivery of how I deliver messages or how do I of how I deliver instruction, of which I've asked for more specifics as to what that meant. So I walked away feeling stronger suspicion that there was a concerted effort to drive me out of the position. And I remember telling the accuser, because she wouldn't look at me, but I kept looking straight at her, telling her that I was very disappointed that she would use her professional ethics and put her professional reputation at risk by making these false statements, these series of false statements, of which the area manager stated that the accuser didn't put her professional ethics or reputation at risk, which I thought was interesting. So on the Thursday on my day off, I wrote an email recapping the meeting and again stating that I respectfully disagree. However, here are the facts once again, and that it's vindictive and it's injurious and it's affecting my health. So when I returned today, I noticed that I noticed that the retaliation has started. In that they were now trying to pair me up with the client who had thrown the oak chair at me, causing injury to my arm. So they started pairing me up with him. Apparently they told him that I have knowledge or I know of how he can emancipate himself from his parents, of which I was taken aback. I'm like, what's going on? I'm not a lawyer. And so I redirected him to a lawyer and I redirected him to his worker who can provide resource to get a lawyer if that is what he was looking for. So while I was still at this plantation and I was trying to keep alternate thoughts away because I was so angry at how things were just being handled at this, it was just dismal. I got an email stating that I was offered a job at another place, another location, or plantation. And then there was another opportunity for two more jobs. So I accepted the offer because I'm aware that this particular plantation is definitely much better than the one that was there, and it's better pay, and I'm familiar with some of the people that work there, so I know that the conditions are better there. So I accepted the job. And incidentally enough, the COO had came to the residence, the group home, for the first time. So I remember I went to the restroom. I input my email for resignation, putting a resignation notification, put the time. And when the time came, so I put it from 1:30 p.m., and I waited until 1:30. And when that time came, while the area manager was speaking with the COO, who first time was at the residence, I first tried to discreetly tell the area manager that I'm quitting. She said that she would speak to me at another time. I said, I'm not going back in. So it was in front of the COO, of the organization that I've mentioned to the area manager that I'm quitting on the spot, and I left and I drove off the plantation, and I've never felt so good. Just to leave that dismal place. So for anyone that's going through this, keep working on your exit strategy. Something will come through. And, you know, just make sure that you have a support base. I thank you, Gus. I thank you, retired firefighter. I thank you, other callers and listeners. You have been so supportive. I mean, you are all absolutely amazing, and I'm truly appreciative of everything, and whatever I can do to do so in return in terms of giving back, and I will do. You all are an absolute blessing, and I'm very honored to have the support from you. So thank you, and I leave the line.
Congratulations. So glad to hear about the exit strategy paying off. Like, man, that is what to do. Like, when you're in one of those environments and you just see that it's every day, it's just toxic and a brawl and new accusations, and you can just see, like, this is not a place that I want to be for the next 5 years. This is not a place where my career is going to blossom. I think I need to look elsewhere. If there's got to be a plantation where I can do a little bit better for myself, work on that exit strategy. Then, once you ascertain that it's that sort of toxic environment, the goal then becomes minimize the amount of time you have to be there. Like, if I can cut this and I don't have to be here 6 months, if I can get out of here in 3 months, great. If I get out of here in a month and a half, great. If I get out of here in a month, great. Just let's see if we don't let this thing linger, because race soldiers, they get that where they kind of get us in that rut and we get depressed and down on ourselves and all the rest of it, and we can end up in that type of situation for a long time, and it can do a lot of damage to our health. Like, bravo for getting out of there. You were talking about your situation, I did want to say the suggestions for our previous female caller, policy and procedure. Always a stickler for policy and procedure. B said, hey, look in there and see what are the guidelines for appropriate behavior for clients, because they generally have something in there about conduct and you can't do this and all the rest of it. If it's in there, whammo, I think that is great. And then you can have a talk with her about what's appropriate and these are the guidelines for when I come, you know, to have these conversations with you and all that. And then, you know, check sign off, you know, with your supervisor or whomever. And then if she continues to violate, hey, she might make that, hopefully it's in the policy and procedure where that can be a condition where services can be terminated. Like, really get their attention. Like, hey, do you want to make racist comments about your neighbors or do you want the services? Love it. Policy and procedure. For Beat, well, I guess there's less, you know, concern since she's moving on. But just those accusations, because we get a lot of that where it's real vague. Like, something about your tone. Something about the cut of your jib. Love that one. Talk about the metaphor. The cut of your jib. I don't know. Walking around giving orders. Talking about what we're doing. I don't know. Just the way you... Something about the way you talk, your accent. I don't know what it is exactly. When they get those sort of vague accusations and they're really sticking to it and, you know, you're sincere, like, oh, okay, well, help me make some improvements. How can I say it? Or what should I do? I don't know. It's just it's hard to put a finger on. Just, you know, it's got that nigra feel, you know? Like, man. They do a lot of that with black people because they'll do it sometimes with the you're real quiet, right? And they'll be real vague about what it is that you need to say more or who you need to talk to. Well, you know, it's just quiet. I don't know. It's just, you know, all these things you like you do any kind of talking, you know? The vague ones,
the devil is in the detail. Because she said when she was trying to ask questions, well, what is it exactly? Is it something that I say, or am I yelling? Am I cursing at someone? You know, what am I? You ask all these questions. Man, we told you he's going to keep asking me 50 questions about it, more and more. That's another one. Like, you should be able to explain. If I'm doing something wrong, like, that's the role of the supervisor, right? Like, oh, wait a minute. This is one of my subordinates. If you're doing something wrong, let me help. This is the correct way to do it, right? If it's something verbal, I can just, let's see, this is the way that you're doing it. This is the way I do it. I just come in, hey, Becky, blah, 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 and just repeat it verbatim. Say it that way, and we'll never have this conversation. If they should be able to do that. If you can't do that, oh, man. And that happens a lot with victims of racism. The nebulous allegation that you're doing something wrong. Ask questions. Ask questions. I do think we have recommended before. I've been guilty of this myself. But I do generally, in the system of white supremacy, think it's best to go about leaving a plantation in the correct manner, the, you know, whole 2 weeks notice and all that. I know for some times, like, Bean Toronto has already told us, you know, this was really compromising her health and well-being and, you know, all the toxic racist behavior. For some folks, that is not possible. Noted. Generally speaking, I think it's best if we can go about in the correct manner of transitioning out of a job, just because we are in a system of racism and vindictive, that word is mentioned. Man, race soldiers are vindictive. Woo. I would say, generally speaking, that sort of thing, like, oh, man, they will contact forever, and it might go on for years, where they contact other folks and talk to them. This nigga here, uppity wench, think she is coming in. Not that they won't do that anyway. Make sure I get that in. Not that they won't do that anyway. But just in general, they can be very vindictive for that sort of conduct. I have not always been, you know, the best at that myself, but I do think in general it's best if we can transition in a correct manner, if possible. If possible. But congratulations. Thank goodness. Get out. I hope the new plantation is spectacular, like an exponential boost in pay and vacation days. You get a cushy office and all kinds of things. Hopefully you'll have the updating us about promotions and not abuse as we move forward. Let's see. If we had folks who had suggestions for our female caller who was dealing with these folks in the residential situation, and we got the one client who's making the racist comments about some of the neighbors and such, if we have any suggestions for her or anybody else, suggestions for our caller in Colorado, any of the other folks, feel free, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like. Oh, no, I get disconnected? Yikes.
I hear you.
Oh, okay. I thought I got disconnected. Okay. Let's see. Thank you, retired firefighter. Other folks who dialed in, if you have... If we missed you totally, let me back up, because I think there are people that we missed totally. If you dialed in, if you have a hand up, if we have not heard from you, like, at all, if you have commentary, your own situation to share, line should be open. My switchboard was not doing right. I think it's correct. Oh, is it working right? Okay, it's working right now, I think. Folks who we missed totally, if you have a hand up, proceed.
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to guests, the hosts, the listeners, and callers. I have some reports I'd like to share. This one was an older one that I don't think I shared some years ago. It was around late 2016. To about March 2017. This was around the time where I transitioned from the Department of, I guess, like records management, because the older supervisor that I used to report about, he retired 2016, end of 2016. So I moved into official records. And the way they had it stationed was pretty much the same deal. It was the white people, pale complected people on one side, and I believe I was the only person classified as black that was on that side, and everyone on the research side was black. So now this is 4 years ago. So I was moved out into the area where the other black people were. So it was two other black people and a white woman. And at the time, I was given a table, not even a sufficient desk at the time. And but the focus of this one is the race soldier put out a requirement for us to start tallying down the customers that we spoke to on the phone, that came in, the email request, and the other requests that needed to go to archive records. So we did this for at least 6 or 7 months. The thing that's unjust about it is we were the only area that was told to do this. And this happened shortly after I was moved over there. All right. So, and I have email of this being requested to stop because it was too much of a burden on the workers over there, including myself. And it was a black female. And what do you know? After an email of concern and asking questions, it pretty much ended. But see, the white people on the other side weren't required to do that, but we were. Okay? So that was one I wanted to mention. My second one is there was an incident about 2 weeks ago where I was shortly after I got back from lunch break in the afternoon, and a person who I haven't seen in a while that is a part of the clique, she was just notifying me that some guy, I guess, was trying to call me, a customer, and she said he just kept calling back, and she put him through to my line, and he just kept being annoying. So this person is emotionally unstable and dramatic or whatever. So I said, okay, I'll check the messages. And she was like, yeah, I know you haven't gotten back to your desk or whatever, or to the desk. And so she walks off, and the black male that's in the high position on the other side of the office hears her make a comment about the calls that she's getting in. Says, oh, these calls are just coming in so much. And then the bad thing is most of the people speak Spanish. And another clique member kind of giggles or whatever. And the black guy says, well, maybe you should learn to speak Spanish. And the lady that does speak Spanish, she kind of just, I guess, giggles herself and doesn't say anything to, I guess, oppose the unprofessional comment or whatever. My next one is I had to also send an email about a policy, I guess. So they say it's a policy where you get PTO extracted if you aren't able to come in given coworkers calling or whatever, because this wasn't mentioned when the supervisor contacted me. So I made sure that I had put it in an email, all right? And I said, because she said, I didn't want you to be surprised or whatever when we get paid coming up. So I said, where's the policy on this? And I've come in to work 13 straight weeks, no call-ins, haven't gotten sick, dependable, reliable, all kinds of terms like that. And to have PTO taken away is unfortunate, especially when I'm segregated from the rest of the department, and I have to listen to my coworkers make racist and inappropriate jokes, and they're laughing about them. So I ended it with, I'm just trying to get some understanding. So she responds saying that, said, well, everyone's treated the same. The policy applies to everyone. If they aren't able to come in, then PTO is taken away. But even when she said that, it's just, you still, you know, you still have suspicion, because where, how would they exactly prove that? All right. But anyways, yeah, she says that, oh, you know, you're very dependable. You're an awesome employee or whatever. And I guess trying to compliment me. And she was saying that you're in that area to answer phones, just like when the other female employee comes in, she has to answer all of the calls. And I'll have to or I'll get another coworker name to kind of head off some of the calls about records. And she said, lastly, if there are employees doing things that are racist, she said to go to HR, just like how you was mentioning about how they won't really have much of a care for HR. I agree with that, so I don't even contact them. She said, because racism has never been tolerated. That was her response on that. So that leads to my next observation, where the supervisor comes in and pleasantly acknowledges the 9 years that I just surpassed. Okay. And this was interesting, because her and only one person out of the whole department mentioned it, maybe one other person. So she says, it's great to have you a part of the department. And the non-white person brings me M&Ms, peanut M&Ms in a box. And it's a sticky note that says, congratulations, you are the bomb. So how about that metaphor? I have two more. The next one is, there was a lady that's over in the traffic department. That's, I guess she was, I overheard her talking to another coworker about having to take down social media because of, I guess, her family's racism or whatever, and I guess she has a black nephew or something like that. So she had to take a lot of black people off of her friend list or whatever. I guess they might be practicing racism to some degree or whatever they're doing. And definitely I'm not shocked by that. and one other thing, my last one is, there was another incident where the black female victim, she said that she made a comment about, I guess, like she was wearing a mask, whatever, and I guess she was saying, man, this mask is, well, she said, this mask is, and it's not comfortable, you know, I can't breathe in it too much. And then she said the white person got real nervous when she said it around them. So I found that to be interesting. And as far as the codification, I'm trying to work on developing codes and new terms. And that's all I have for now. Thanks for allowing me to share.
I'm wounded. Did you say the black female said she had her mask on and she said, man, this mask on, I don't even like it. It's not comfortable. It's hard to breathe. And the white person got nervous around? Is that what
you
said?
Oh, yeah, he was afraid.
Woo! Come on. That is terrifying. A nigger saying that he can't breathe. I mean, I'm ready to run for the hills right now. Whew, man, oh, man. Racist jokes aplenty. I will pause my responses for
bevy of commentary. Make sure we nab everybody who dialed in. Other folks that we missed totally, if you have a hand up with commentary to share, if we have not heard from you at all, lines should be open. Oh, my switchboard is doing it again. See, it folks having trouble dialing in. I'm having trouble just, you know, getting the switchboard to behave for 5 minutes at a time. All right, let's see if it'll cooperate for a few seconds here. All right, so the folks who dialed in, if we have missed you completely, lines should be open. Make sure we get you. Hit the wrong. Man, that was my fault. I was going to blame the switchboard pressing. All right. Folks that we missed totally, line should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Greetings, non-Clemson grad, repping it for South Carolina.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that switchboard thing is definitely a noticeable issue. For example, when I might press the mute button sometimes, I'm unable to press the mute button again to unmute it. So I've been trying to call up for like the last 2 hours. But I guess, you know, races work in overtime. All right, so let's see. I got a couple of stories, and then I'll switch off to my wife. Obviously, driving to work, I listen to the radio, sometimes Democracy Now!, sometimes other things. And interestingly enough, one of the most interesting things I heard this week was the fact that the Supreme Court ruled that DACA is constitutional. And as people, as one of the people who came off to Democracy Now! Was talking, they said something along the lines of that the Supreme Court's decision was a blow against racism. And after a while, I eventually just turned off the radio and was thinking to myself, every time I hear this kind of line of logic, I think to myself, Hispanic is not a race. So I'm wondering what the blow against racism is. Next story. So like most places around the country, if you have some kind of transit agency, you might have some kind of like board of directors that manages the decision making and the decision making of that transit agency. Where I am in South Carolina, there are 7 members, and one of the members who got onto the board maybe 1 or 2 years ago, well, there was a meeting today, and I had to go to these meetings for work, and then I saw someone new who I hadn't seen before, and I wondered who this person was. Random person looked them up, fine. And then I have the phone number of the former member, so I text him and ask him why he was no longer on the board, and he says to me that apparently the county was no longer interested in having him as a board member. Now, usually when something like this happens, you know, the current board member has the opportunity to go before the council and, you know, plead their case to why they should stay on the board. But as you can imagine, right now we live in the age of coronavirus. So the board member, who is a black male who got kicked off, said he didn't even get an opportunity to plead his case about whether or not he wanted to stay on the board or not. And he said he enjoys his time. At least that's what he said to me. I'm going to take him at his word. But, of course, as you can imagine, there's no particular shot that this black man who was on the board was not even able to get a hearing with the council to plead his case to stay on the board. And apparently a similar situation happened to another black man about 3 years ago. So, you know, patterns. Earlier this week at work as well, my manager and I ended up in a conversation. We were standing in front of my office. Of course, we were social distancing, right? And there's a project that we've started working on because we got money from the federal government. Of course, we are in charge of dispersing and reporting projects with federal funds. And there's something called transit-oriented development, the idea that when you build some kind of new transit line, you know, you want to build, residential and commercial uses, you know, businesses and apartments or housing around the train stop or the bus stop. That's what transit-oriented development is. And somehow eventually that conversation morphed into something else along the lines of the fact that the majority of the people who there's a significant amount of non-white people, mostly black people, who live in the area live on the west side of the county, and the good jobs that pay well out towards the eastern side of the county, you know, something called a spatial mismatch, where the people who need the jobs can't get to them because they're far and there's no way for them to transport themselves there. And eventually my manager gets into a conversation where he says, yeah, because of structural racism, that's why we have a whole bunch of people who are poor on the west side and why all the good jobs are on the east side. So eventually I asked him the definition. Okay, fine, you said structural racism. Do you have a definition? And his definition was something along the lines of, well, it's when people are mistreated because of their skin covered and they're marginalized. And then before I could really elaborate, you know, get a better understanding of the definition, he just basically kept talking and talking and talking, basically not giving me an opportunity to interrogate his definition. And eventually a woman who was my coworker in the same department, you know, because she was, you know, listening in on the conversation from her office as well, too, of course, all of us social distancing, you know, she talked about, she somehow managed to blurt out, yeah, we got to dismantle, you know, institutional racism. And I just thought that was very interesting. I'm like, why do you care? At least that's what I'm thinking to my, I'm thinking to myself in the back of my head. And, you know, I have a conversation with my friend later on. I told him exactly what my manager and my coworker said and the context in which it arose. And basically he just summed it up as them looking for absolution, which is apparently a biblical term where you seek forgiveness. And personally for me, I have no forgiveness to offer. And then also during the week, I had a conversation with my mother, you know, while I'm at work. You know, it's nice to have, because I'm lucky enough to have my own office on the plantation. You know, sometimes I, you know, I'm working or I distract myself, go do something else, get away from my computer. And I close my door. I might call my mother to see how she's doing. Right now, she's lucky enough to still be working on working from home as she works in New York. And, of course, New York is a hotspot, though. It's one of those places in the country that has pushed down the coronavirus counts, unlike where I live here in South Carolina, where their approach to dealing with coronavirus is Ivan Drago, which means if he dies, he dies. So anyway, I'm having a conversation with my mother, and one of the things we have a conversation about is a book that I finished reading last week called Usual Cruelty, Lawyers' Complicity in the Criminal Injustice System by a man named Alex Karakassanis. It wasn't a very long book, but it was a very interesting one. And obviously we have all these conversations with police reform, whatever that's supposed to mean. And my mother migrated to this country from Nigeria. And, of course, I was born and raised here. You know, so I can imagine, as you can imagine, we got completely different experiences about how, you know, how we perceive things in the world, which is perfectly fine as well, too. But I tried to explain this book to my mother, and one of the things I tried to explain to her was the idea of this concept called compelling state interest. So, for example, obviously there are laws. Sometimes people break laws. But just because someone breaks a law doesn't mean they've necessarily done harm or are doing harm or would, of course, cause harm. So, for example, you know, whether or not you agree or disagree, someone smoking weed is not necessarily causing harm. You know, they're not going to, you know, cause a situation where someone's going to be harmed or killed or something like that, but it is against the law, depending on where you are in the country, some places more so than others. Compare this to something like, you know, alcohol, where people, you know, this riles people up. They, you know, get behind, get in the car, they drive. They might hurt themselves or hurt someone else, even kill themselves or kill somebody else. Some people are spousal abusers who become even more dangerous when they drink. But alcohol is not illegal. But alcohol is not illegal. And, you know, what's the compelling state interest in that situation? And for weed, what's the compelling state interest to take someone's liberty away, even though they might not cause harm? But compare that to, like, you know, alcohol, where people are definitely causing harm when they get too much of it and do something really, really problematic, but the government has no reason, won't necessarily ban the behavior like they did back in the day when they did prohibition. And I juxtapose this to racism. Racism is not against the law, but it does obviously create, you know, societal harm. People are harmed. People are even killed. And I was trying to make this juxtaposition with my mother about understanding, like, you know, necessarily don't blame black people necessarily for the behavior that they may exhibit that you might not agree with. Me personally, I don't smoke weed, but I stay away from people who smoke weed because I don't personally like the smell anyways. But let's not sit here and say that just because someone might engage in certain types of behaviors that, you know, there's some, you know, that that there's something wrong with them or anything like that. Not that my mom was necessarily saying that. But she also juxtaposed it to what, you know, Gus, you say all the time as well too, that sobriety is always best. And took it further to say that if you know the police are going to come and get you for these certain types of behaviors, that of course you should try to avoid these behaviors. And I'm perfectly fine with that logic, but one thing I personally do not agree with is the idea that we spend more time trying to focus on what black people should not do to avoid racism, but we don't necessarily put, at least in my opinion, enough emphasis on the same behaviors that white people do but don't get in trouble for. And with that, I'm going to pass it off to my wife, if she's still awake. Nope, she fell asleep, so I'll do her part for her. Apparently, my wife found a very interesting, if I can find it, racist joke on Facebook. Oh, here it is. It says, "I am not racist. Got a black guy in my family tree. Come out and see. He's in the backyard. If you can't take a joke, F you then." And I will leave it at that.
Wow. What a racist tendency. See, the violence. The violence. Violence against black people, because I see they did a whole lot of the lynching. Well, I mean, hey, we got, and even that, now they got lynchings right now. Right now. They got the controversy about the anti-lynching bill, and then in California, Robert Fuller, they have another black male as well, just found hanging under suspicious circumstances. And har, har, har. Can't take a joke. F you. That's just going to be more of that, and 4 more years. That's what we'll have to look forward to.
I would also add that the person who made that particular racist joke is a VA police officer at the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, white woman.
No one does it better. White women, no one does it better. Wow. And they talk about police reform. My goodness. Bravo on asking for a definition of structural racism. That is spectacular. If they're going to be talking about all this institutional racism, blurting all this out in the office place, grand time to take advantage. What's your definition? And see what they say. I'm like, I was going to do my buckets and buckets of words, Sal. Oh, yes. And when people are mistreated on skin color, and blah, 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 you can't even get a word in. Like, oh, yes, I was going to do it. Keep telling him, yes, 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 yes. Buckets and buckets of words. I'm also not surprised the black male who was on the transit council there and they booted him off. I am not surprised the Rona is going to be used to benefit racist man, racist woman. They normally, you would have an opportunity, you could, you know, make your case as to why you should be allowed to stay. Oh, we got the Rona. Yeah, sorry, just have to. That's just the way it goes sometimes. Oh, well, you had a good time, didn't you? It was a good run. System of white supremacy. And he said, pattern, this is not the first. They didn't even have the Rona the last time around. I guess that person maybe got a public appeal or maybe they didn't. But pattern, we know how to get rid of the lone Negro on the transit council or any other council if we don't want them there. Let's see. Oh, my goodness, that's why my list got so long. So I had two different sets of notes
our caller in Florida as well, like, wow, I had such a long list. So a white person, I'm thinking in any context, right? Library, school system, correctional facility, as they call it, group home. I wouldn't care what it is, like Wall Street, any field, for a white person to come out of their mouth and say, oh, man, racism has never been tolerated here. Never? Never. Okay. Now, that's another one. Now, if you have someone, if you've worked there long enough yourself, hey, you've just been paying attention for the last 5 days, I am sure there is evidence where everybody, well, maybe let's not say never. We have had some racist things happen here. Yeah, we go back and tell the truth about it, but, you know, that is not a part of our written mission statement, at least not anymore. That would have to be, particularly in Florida, I mean, come on. Today must be the day for HR. Like, man, what is going on? I don't remember this many a workplace racism program where HR has been mentioned this many times. Where the white woman this time steps in, says, oh, yes, if you think racism is being practiced, you have concerns, you should go to HR, which would further lead me to suspect what I said, that they are not sympathetic to the Negro. They are not going to be helpful. I don't think they would be recommending it if that were the case. Let's see. The comments about the beaners, the white woman was upset because they were getting this, I guess, an increased volume of calls. A lot of people were dialing in, and she had to make sure she included. We not only do we have a lot of people calling, a lot of them, they speak Spanish. And then, oh, man, well, maybe you should learn Spanish. Man, I don't think so. if this is a click member, no. I don't know if this is the one who had the Nazi on the feed and all. I don't know if it's the same person. But, I mean, all of the click members, no, I don't think they're going to learn Spanish. I could be wrong, but they've been pretty tough about the Rona and the masks. I don't think learning Spanish is going to be next on their list. Let's see. We had that, I think, last week where you said somebody, a white person like him, it almost to me, it's like they're kind of brag. It's in the same vein. It's like, oh, I've got black friends, and, you know, we adopted a black person, and I watch black movies, and I've read black books. That time I was at a Negro protest. Like, I had, you know, five or six white people I had to delete on Facebook because they were on making racist jokes. And, you know, I got niggers in my family tree, and that's it. I just don't tolerate that. Same thing I said, because I think he said that last week or recently. This is not the first time that these deleted Facebook homies have said or done something racist, probably in person, not just something that they read, you know, in cyberspace or whatever. I'm sure these are probably some white people that they know and have been kicking it with, at the Cracker Cafe down in Florida and all the rest of it, where they have had a good old time. And now, oh, man, I can't believe it. Look at him up there mocking George Floyd. I'm just not going to tolerate this. Delete. Come on. And why are you making – that's the same thing I said before, too, especially if this is being done in the presence of some other black people. Like, you're just trying to get your little public announcement on, like, oh, see, I'm a friend of the colored folk. See, I don't tolerate racism. I've deleted racist friends on my Facebook page and everything. See, I'm not like them. Come on. Come on. Let's see. The segregated section, I thought that was a good one as well. The email I thought was even better. Having an email record when you have correspondence with folks about policy and procedure in the workplace, if it's PTO, anything really, having documented email. That way it's no ambiguity, it's no I forgot, and he said, she said. Nope. It's on June 11th at 3:51 in the p.m., you said, boop, 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 here's the printout. Everybody got it? Email for, like, love it. The electronic documentation, irrefutable. Even if they don't respond, that's great, because then it's whammo. I sent the email, got it? You received it, yes or no? They have the confirmation receipt, too. That can be useful, but love it. And use the email. That is great, especially when you have folks who seem like they might want to be deceptive and not remember what they said, can't exactly get clarification on policy and procedure. Having that email record, stellar. Let's see. The beaners. The unnecessary work portion, we had, I was going to say truck driver. Did he say it was truck? I think he said it was construction. Where he dialed in and he talked about them messing up the hydraulic press. They don't normally disassemble it at the end of the workday, but they did this time, and it slowed him down, made him look incompetent in front of everybody, deliberately sabotaging, having the black people in the segregated section, having them do all this extra work that nobody else is required to do, in my opinion, that's the same thing. That's sabotage, just having you waste all this time and energy when you get worn down and stressed. Oh, you got to do all this teaching. Nobody else has to do all this extra work. And then finally, you email and ask questions. Again, questions, the best weapon. Email and ask questions, and then it gets, that's sabotage right there. Why are we having to waste all this time and energy? No matter, I say that all the time. They find so many ways of wasting our time and energy. And if all you all had to do was ask some questions, you didn't have to go out and protest and roll around in the street. All it took was asking some questions. How important was this to begin with? If it was really important, they would have had everybody doing it. Because I think sometimes they just do this sort of thing just to waste niggas' time. It's not like, whatever it is that you all were doing, it's not like that's vital, like the courthouse is going to fall apart if we don't have this data. Again, if that were the case, everybody would have been required to do it. No. We just find some little niggling things for them to do, waste some more of that. It's sabotage. That's the way I think about that. Again, I think a whole lot of that type of thing happens in the workplace. A lot of times we don't even catch it wait a minute, man, this is total – not this is racism, not calling it nonsense. This is racism. That's what this is. And they're just wasting our time and energy. Anywho, I did check out the book. I'm looking at it now. Maybe we'll see if we can get that is quite a handle. Cross-Sanis, whatever it is. Well, maybe we'll see if we can get him. Usual Cruelty. See if we can get him on the program. Reading more important than watching television. But that's very common for us to do a lot of assessing blame. So Candace Owens, other victims, mentioned that we went full circle with everything, HR and all of that. That is very common, and that'll probably be even more common this year because there's such an increase in focus on white supremacy racism. And if you don't understand what that is, you don't understand what it means to be white, invariably, what that means is if we don't blame white people for this problem, the people who are to blame, who should be blamed, it's got to come back to, it's got to be the Negro's fault. So you're probably going to hear and see a lot of that this year. Same recommendation. I would minimize contact. I guess you can't do that too much with your mom, but, try to use logic. But if the folks are not being logical and they just are insistent that, no good Negroes in Chicago, mess it up for everybody, that Obama, all of it. Minimize contact. Don't name calls. Try to be constructive. And, hope we can get to 2021. It has been rough. My goodness. Did anybody else, anything else, need to get in, suggestions, corrections?
Can I be heard?
Caller in Florida.
Oh, really quick, Gus. I wanted to share something constructive. I used a form of code that I hadn't used in a while, I don't think. I was in the break room, and one of the news segments were playing about another officer brutally mistreating and practicing racism on a young black male minor. So the supervisor comes in, and she sits to the table adjacent to mine, and she's looking at the news report, and she says, "Oh, my goodness, for Pete's sakes." So obviously she, doesn't want to see the subject matter that's connecting to racism. So I look over to her and I say, "Hey, that email you sent about the credit card payments for customers, what was that all about? Because I didn't get to read it. I totally got off the subject." So that's what I wanted to share.
Wow. Not surprised.
That is lovely. If you work in a work environment where they have the news, wow, you can learn a lot just paying attention to the responses. And if President Trump comes on or they report another shooting, is it, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this happened. Something's got to be done. Or, oh, my gosh. Interesting. That, four more years. Make sure I get that in. And I forgot, how could I forget, the M&Ms. You report racism in the workplace. Oh, my goodness, you are our favorite NICRA. You see, we got you a pack of M&Ms fresh out of the machine there, didn't even open them. We just love you to death. Don't you think we just, I said that consistently, like, no eating in the workplace. Like, I've seen that happen a lot where they would do something really tacky and come in the next day with, like, Starbucks or bagels, croissants, scones, whatever it is, in the trash. You don't have to throw it away, like, directly in front of them, but I said that. We're not, you know, Pavlov's dogs. We're not being controlled by food. If you have a job, I hope we're getting compensated enough to get food. If that is the case, you can get your own M&Ms, with peanuts even. Not that we need M&Ms, like, less sugar. But I'm saying, and they don't even get quality food. Like, it's, they could have went to the vending machine. Who's got 50 cents? They only got a quarter stuck under the bench somewhere. Yes, let's get this nigga some M&Ms. Or bag, if they have some, okay, 55 cents for some M&Ms. All right. Yes, nigga, you appreciate it. Now hush up, making all that noise around here. They, and then they say, he's the bomb. The metaphor, yeah. This isn't a compensatory call in, but I do pay attention to the. Now, last week, it was he's sneaking a knife in. And now he's the buy. Come on. We can't just say, here you are, fella. Yeah, every time. Like, it can't just be here, fella. We got some M&Ms. They're brown and chocolatey like you. Right on. Good day, fella. We love you. Can't, all right. And then we go about it. No. We got to slip in something. We got to make it tacky. Get in something. In the trash with the M&Ms, coffee. Anything. It can't just be, we got some of your PTO back. How about that? We didn't get you any M&Ms. We got a little bit of that for you. Extra vacation day, got you a raise, a gift card that you could use and get what you want. Doesn't have to be M&Ms. Got to keep it tacky. Anybody else, last comment before we wrap up? Be here tomorrow for the compensatory call. Yes,
ma'am. Can I say something real quick? I just, the M&Ms, when he said it, that I caught it. So M&Ms make friends. Well, that's why they gave it to him. M&M's, fake friends. So that's why they're being your friend. And peanuts, only adults eat M&M peanuts. That's all. So I just thought, I'm so silly. Okay.
Right. Dr. Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Wellesley moment for sure. And George Washington, Carver moment. We know the niggers love the peanut. Yes. Everybody good? Anything else? Correction, suggestion? All right. Assume we are grand. We should be here tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, compensatory call-in. What a week. Hope folks in Florida, man, they said it was, like, spiking down there with the Rona. Like, I hope folks are taking that, you know, serious, like social distancing and hands washing and all. Like, Governor DeSantis is not doing it correctly down there, I don't think. Maybe Andrew Gillum would have done a better job. We'll never know. We'll be here tomorrow for the compensatory call-in. We'll be here Sunday for the Global Sunday Talk on Racism. Again, looking forward to checking in with our folks around the globe. The protests have been happening all over, so to check in about that. Lots of white people in those protests once you get outside the U.S. The Rona situation is still rolling. Looking forward to that Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 1 p.m. Mountain, and 12 noon Pacific. And then we'll also be here on Monday, Dr. Martin Kevorkian, admitted white supremacist, back with us. He'll be here at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. The four films for this coming Monday: Terminator, Dark Fate, The Hate U Give, the movie, not the book, New American Classic, Breaking 2,
Electric Boogaloo, been in the news every day for the past month. And Black Mirror, Striking Vipers, that is just one episode. We're not doing the whole season for season five, just the one episode, Striking Vipers. But those will be our four lookies for Monday with Dr. Martin Kevorkian. All of the films selected are directly relevant to what is happening now. That was not a random hodgepodge selection. That was directly to what is happening right now, June 2020. But that'll be normal time on Monday. If you have suggestions, comments, feel free, dial in. If you try out any counter-racist techniques in the workplace, certainly let us know what works. We are always looking for strategies. Man, that is what we are in desperate need of, strategies, strategies, strategies. With that, sobriety would be best. I recommend it. Man, that was, I think, non-Clemson grad said he and his mom came into agreement on that one. I third that. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We need our brain computer working at maximum efficiency to solve this problem. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled. Now, I am still of the opinion, shouldn't be a whole lot of gallivanting. Like, it is super dangerous out and about. Like, they just shot someone in New Mexico this week. A protester got shot. I don't think killed, but thankfully didn't get killed. But, I mean, it's kind of dangerous. Lots of armed race soldiers, badge, sometimes no badge, still armed. I would be real strategic about going out, you know, be alert. If things look suspicious, I would call it a wrap and come back to the house. It is just not a time to be taking risks, unnecessary risks, and just being out and about. Like, I would be real strategic, meaning I'm trying to get this, this, and this. And once I have that done, it is back to the house. Like, this is not just the out joyride and kicking it. And I know it's summertime, and it's starting to get a little bit warm here in Seattle. It was lovely today for a little while, nice and sunny. But get out, get to the park, whatever, and get a little exercise. I know B and some other folks got some lovely time in hiking. That is great. I hope Firefighter's still going out and running with his offspring. Spectacular. Other than that, real direct. Do whatever my one or two errands are that I came to do, and then I'm back. Be alert. Real dangerous times on the plantation. Wow. With that, if you are going to go out, though, you're sober, you're buckled. If you are driving, you are not on the cell phone. Again, just trying to do the little things that we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, even Candace Owens. Victims of racism, we ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in. No name calling. No name calling, even if we get stressed by other victims. No name calling. That is in the 10 stops from Mr. Fuller. Big time important. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
No problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.